Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates Studios, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome. This is Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks. It's a great winter morning, huh?
Yeah, it's not a good day to talk to a Yankee, though. Have you run into a Yankee yet? They're like, this isn't cold. Shut up. This isn't cold. If you can't see your breath, it's not cold.
When does winter officially start?
December 21st or 23rd?
Yeah, well, that's felt the... like it arrived.
Right.
But this isn't cold. For somebody in, what, Pittsburgh, New York, Cleveland.
Yankee Stan.
Cold for us.
All right, and today we're doing a meteorological 3 hours here. Forget the financial talk. Now, look, a lot happened this week, and some of it's going to be a learning lesson for what's going on in our own backyard. You know, you've heard us talk about the New Orleans Firemen Pension Fund being a disaster. The other public pensions are a disaster. Well, it's fun watching these other cities that are further down the rabbit hole than us. Dallas did some drastic moves, and... A lot of people are furious. It's going to be a sort of an Apocalypse Now moment over in our neighboring state. Also, we have non-OPEC states saying they're going to join OPEC for the first production cut, the global cut in 15 years. Yeah, right. We don't think that's going to happen for 5 seconds. We'll explain. We're going to tell you more about our 401k analyzer service. Been getting a lot of questions on that, and that's everyone's, well, not everyone, that's most people's primary retirement savings vehicle. And we see a lot of people making a lot of mistakes and really just ignoring it. You're throwing a ton of money at it, but are you really keeping up with it? What would happen? What would your numbers look like if you just had a little direction on which way to steer that sucker? Thousands and thousands of dollars hanging the balance on there. Also, we got to talk a little bit about annuities. Gregory and I were sort of testing the limits of annuities earlier this week, and we'd like to run that by you as well. Now, we've been making strides here. In fact, we were doing some upgrades to the Gregory Ricks Palatial Studios this week as well. We're working on some other technology to help accommodate people who either it's inconvenient for them to come in, or some people call it lazy. I call it efficient. Even if you're around the corner and you'd rather do it in your pajama pants via a computer, we're starting to see that more and more, and we have no problem adapting to that. In fact, it's kind of nice for us, too. So we'll talk a little bit about how the access to Gregory Ricks and Associates is evolving with the times. And if you want a good example of that, jump on Periscope right now. Periscope's an app that kind of does the it's sort of like Twitter's answer to Facebook Live, although it seems to be a lot cleaner and more effective. Facebook Live will get it together, but in the meantime, we got people in there right now. Hey, hook up the hearts, you bunch of deadbeats. But we've been getting a lot of questions. I would say half the questions that we answered on the show during the weekly or the daily wrap during the weekday show came from Periscope. So
it really turns out to be very interactive and dedicated listeners, because they're getting to watch the show instead of just listen to it. And that's one reason of the technologies, I think, changes everything and why we're doing it, because we do want to be different but give them more visuals. And we have another different way of seeing what we are doing and talking about. Should we might be able to test it next week.
You want to just go ahead and let the cat out the bag, or you want to keep a little bit of secrecy around this?
Mystery. We can go ahead and let it out. It's basically we're going to be doing GoToWebinar.
And okay, now how would that apply to a radio show? Don't let me get ahead of myself. You guys are already using this in some fashion. Talk about how you use it at the office, and then how we would apply it to the show.
Well, GoToMeeting and some of those other computer-driven programs to where you can see a client or somebody that's interested in the firm, we do online meetings with them. So, because distance is an issue, and they may want to work with us, but they don't want to drive 3 hours or fly across the country. And we can actually sit and have a face-to-face meeting on the computer. And you can pull up and show them things, you know, charts or statements and information on financial tools. You can do that all on the screen. And the biggest thing, I think, is you still get to see each other. And it's kind of like that, it's as close as you can get to that across the table interaction. So from there, we're thinking about doing, you know, where we do the Gregory Ricks live event. We're thinking of adding on a online live event once a month-ish, and then do a replay of that at a later time, or allow somebody just to go download it and see it. And then from there, we're doing the go-to webinar for the radio show. That way, when we're talking about charts, the market, or some articles we find of interest, we will have that loaded on to show during the show. But also, it's where you can interact and see us as well doing the show. Another way to see us.
Yeah, and the cool thing about that is when we're on the show and we're talking about charts, one of the shortcomings of radio has been you can't see the chart we're looking at. Or we have to describe it to you, and you can maybe follow along if you happen to be sitting in front of a computer. But it's going to work dually. You know, if you're driving home during the daily wrap and you hear us talk about a chart, maybe you can't go whip out the GoToMeeting or whatever aspect we have that lets you see the chart. But when you get home, if you're interested, you can go back and see what we were talking about. We want to have both of those levels of accessibility because we're looking for getting the visual element out there, number one, and the on-demand, the time shifting. Gregory, the Hot Redhead is singing in a Christmas concert tonight. Guess what time that starts?
Christmas concert.
How about let me tell you, it starts right at the same time as the Cowboy game. So guess who's watching Dak Prescott time shifted tonight? And I'm happy to do it. Happy to do it. You know, I would have had to choose one or the other, and it's the convenience. We cannot ignore that. If we're using it this much in our daily lives, we have to be able to make it accessible to you too, because we're missing out if we don't, and you're missing out if we don't.
Exactly. They're missing a lot in what we showed. And this started where with Periscope and Facebook Live, they could see what we're putting on the monitor in the studio, especially on the daily wrap. And you just can't see it that well.
No.
From the streaming concept. And that's where the GoToMeeting is going to allow you to interact, or especially like if you hear something and whether you're listening on the radio or streaming the show, you can go back and catch the webinar later because it'll be recorded and saved and available for a period of time. I doubt we can save everything for a long period of time, but it's kind of relevant. You know, the daily wrap is kind of relevant for what's going on at this time.
And another cool thing, I had some feedback after the show yesterday. When we went on the breaks during the daily wrap, when we're in the Gregory Rick studio, I can turn down the volume on the commercials and we can just continue our conversation. And sometimes it's financial related, and what we'll do is find like a little path we like, and we'll just sort of recreate that magic in the next segment. But yesterday was super cool, and I got some feedback from two people, Gregory, that were listening to our commercials, our conversation during the commercial, and they were interested in things outside of the financial world. Look at the hat you're wearing. Remember what we were talking about yesterday on the break? We were getting just as many comments about that as we were the financial stuff. Gregory Ricks is zooming around in race cars yesterday. That's what he did with his Friday. And they thought that was pretty cool, too. So it's sort of like bonus content.
Yeah, I don't always do that on Fridays, but about once a month, I go out and do my hobby where somebody else may play golf or go hunting. Go fast.
Yeah.
On a racetrack. That's just something I want to do. Maybe what I'm driving costs more than a rifle or hunting gear, but I don't know. My brother-in-law spends a lot of money on hunting. But then, I don't know, what does a really great set of golf clubs cost?
$5,000.
Well, it could be more. Depends on how mad you get when you
good
miss.
Point.
Yeah.
I'm bad about that. So, but people just like the extra content. People forget that you're not just a financial supercomputer. Under that little fleece there is a human being with your own sets of likes and dislikes and hobbies and stuff. And that's a pretty cool one. And yes, we did put the camera in a different spot. We didn't just rearrange the studio. Someone was asking on Periscope.
And that's good feedback, because there's a lot of stuff we talk about. Sometimes it doesn't carry into the next segment, but then at times it does. Or somebody asking a question from Periscope, or we're seeing it, and then all of a sudden, you know what? That's something we need to talk about on air.
Yeah, and
I'll stop you and say, wait, hold on. We need to do this on the air.
Yes, that does happen. And that happened toward the beginning of the week when we were talking about the 401k analyzer. And I don't know what spurred it. I think you had a client story about a 401k situation, and then that triggered someone who had a similar situation. And then when they asked the question, we answered it on the air. But then on the commercials, we were able to hyper-focus on the Periscope chat and just go back and forth and sort of have a dialogue with the person online. So don't be shy, even if you don't think you're very techie. And, you know, these doodads have gotten past you. We've made it simple. If it's not simple enough, let us know. We will work to make it even more simple. I mean, we do it at the office. We do it with our clients financially. We do it with our radio show.
It's a little bit more of a leap to do the webinar, as I understand. And you're going to be involved next week in some of the coaching so that we both understand how to get this up and going. But I think on the webinar, it's going to be something where if they're wanting to do it, they got to go in and do a quick, brief registration. But the code number, I think, is a permanent code number. Instead of reissuing one every day, I believe it's a permanent code number. But you do have to go in to register for the webinar, which is really easy. And you could even do it at last minute and then connect to the show. Whereas Periscope Live, you're just basically doing a few clicks on the app and you're in. On GoToMeeting, it's a little bit different there, but it's almost just like we send out an invite and all they have to do is click on that. But on GoToMeeting, we're limited at how many people can be involved in that, to where initially we're setting up the GoToWebinar to where hundreds of people can tune in.
And as soon as we get this all mastered, it's going to be all funneled through the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can go and get it now. When the update happens, it'll automatically happen on your phone as well. Look, Lynn here from Periscope says, I just increased the percentage on my 401k, but boy, it hurts when I look at my paycheck now. You increase the contributions. You know you're doing the right thing.
Well, if it's traditional, it's pre-tax, so it does help some because it lowers the tax bill.
Yes, it does. Your AGI as well. But not as much Christmas money, but just like working out hurts, but you know you're doing the right thing. It's the same feeling, Lynn. Thanks for chiming in. If you want to be a part of the show, 504-260-0995, 401k Analyzer. Next, it's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
You don't have to wait till Christmas morning to get the gift of information.
I listen to the radio in the morning.
On the way into work.
Jerry B.
I just like to know what's going on in the town.
Monday morning at 5.
News Talk 99.5. WRNO.
Managing your credit is a skill, and like any skill, you have to walk before you can run. The free Experian app is a great way to start building your credit skills. Download the free Experian app for Android and iOS right now. Experian, be better at credit.
For maximum smartphone performance, reach for the Mini. The new Axon 7 Mini, now available at Best Buy. Dolby Atmos means an immersive 3D audio experience. The AMOLED screen and 16-megapixel camera capture vibrant images. Sleekly designed, it fits perfectly into your hand, your life, and your budget. It's Mini to the max. Go to your nearest Best Buy or online for the Axon 7 Mini by ZTE. Have you heard?
No Christmas is complete without experiencing the Nutcracker. This is Dennis Asaf of the Jefferson Performing Arts Society to tell you we have a new production, new scenery, and even a flying Clara accompanied by two angels as she enters the Kingdom of Sweets. The JPAS Nutcracker is the Big Easy Best Ballet Award winner for 2015. This holiday season, give the gift that will be remembered long after that smoked turkey is gone. Tickets to the Nutcracker. Playing December 17th and 18th in the beautiful Jefferson Performing Arts Center. So join me, along with the JPAS Symphony Orchestra and more than 100 dancers for the Nutcracker, December 17th and 18th. For tickets, call 885-2000 or visit us at jpas.org.
James Parker here. Hey, do me a favor. Grab your phone real quick. Go download the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. You can connect with the show. You can call the show or send us a text message. You can connect with the office. You can find our next Gregory Ricks live event. You can set an appointment. You can listen to our podcast and previous shows. And if you're a client with Gregory Ricks, you can pop up your financial dashboard and see how all your accounts are doing in real time. Plus, there's no pictures of me. The Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go ahead and download it right now, because eventually you're going to need it.
Picture a door. On it, a sign that says, "Do not look." Every instinct says danger, but still you peek. Inside, a room full of cockroaches, which can trigger asthma attacks. Rodents that contaminate food and transmit disease. And termites, which cause billions in property damage each year. Trust your instincts. Know the signs. Learn how to protect your family and home at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Welcome back. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. It used to be just Winning at Life for 6.5 years. Well, we started calling it Weekly Wrap a couple months back, but that's because we do a weeknight show. You're over there cracked up by somebody.
Yeah, because Lynn says she doesn't like the 401k analyzer because it said she's only contributing 9% and it told her to contribute 15%. So in order for her to get to her goals, you know, it kind of put her on the path. This is what you need to be contributing. She doesn't like that. She doesn't like having to increase her contributions to get to where she's at. She knows she's doing the right thing.
You can just never save enough. But we're the Weekly Wrap. We've been doing this for 6.5 years, live radio. If you have a financial situation looking for some help, the phone number is 504-260-0995. As you heard in the previous segment, we were talking about the Gregory Ricks and Associates app. Go to your app store and download it. You can text us by going to the Winning at Life tab and interact with us on the show. The email is gregory@gregoryricks.com, so it gives you the website, which is gregoryricks.com. You can interact with us there. There's a team member that you can do a little bit of chatting with, and they will forward the transcript to me in a few minutes afterwards. Or, yeah, do it the old slow way. Just send us an email.
Okay, so when we talked about the 401k analyzer, you know, we talked about that a little bit on last weekend's show, but we're more talking about sort of the assessment of the person that's seeking the advice. What is your risk tolerance? And then today I want to talk about getting to that goal. First off, how do you set up that goal? The question is how much money you need to retire. Then once you have that amount you need, let's break it down monthly. How much is going to be covered by your Social Security? You have income from anywhere else? And then you find out what actually the 401k has to do. Then you got Tim over here in Florida. Look, I'm a small business owner. I don't have a 401k. We'll get to you in a second. Tim, hang on.
He could.
Tell Tim about he can do his own 401k then.
Let's say he's a sole proprietor or a subchapter S, and maybe the company's him, and let's just say he's married and his wife's helping with the books or something.
Does that sound right, Tim? He's got an LLC.
Okay, LLC. But he can do a solo 401k. Now, if he has employees that are full-time, that's not going to work. But being a small business, you can do a solo 401k, and it creates a lot of opportunities for you in putting money away pre-tax versus some of the others. I'm a big fan of it.
What's his options if he does have employees?
He could still do a 401k, but he's got to follow other rules, and he's an employee of his company as well. So he's going to, if he's doing contributions, they can do contributions. If he's going to match for him, he's going to match for everyone.
They have three employees.
But there's also profit sharing to do. And you have to look at – one of the things I look at it from is, you know, it's like, darn, I pay them good. They have benefits, and I contribute the 401k. But one of the main reasons to do that is it makes you competitive in the workplace for good employees, that they're getting benefits and you want to keep them on board with that. So in some cases, it makes it hard for them to leave.
And we like the sound of that, don't we?
Yeah. All right, we want them to stay.
So the guy has an LLC. He's got three employees. I'm thinking he's going up to that next level and he needs to treat this like something bigger. Maybe not even an LLC, maybe the subchapter S or a C Corp. But that's mostly taxes, and that doesn't have more to do with retirement planning?
The subchapter S, he could be an LLC and have a subchapter S. And that's where all the profits flow to him from the business instead of the company paying taxes and him paying taxes separately. Because as we know, because if you didn't, for those that don't run businesses, they get taxed at a pretty high tax rate, leaving money into the business. And you really don't want to. You'd rather it flow to you at your tax rate. But it also, a way to save is, let's say his revenue's 200K at the end of the year, his net to him. Well, he does, if you do a Schedule C profit loss as a sole proprietor, you're paying Social Security on all of that. But if he's a businessman, and what's reasonable pay for his industry to be running that company, let's say he pays himself $75,000 and the other $125,000 is taken as distributions, which would show up on your Schedule K, he's only paying Social Security taxes on that $75,000. There and other payroll expenses are reduced and not being taken out of the other $25,000 in profit. Now, keep in mind that I'd rather be on the max side of payroll to where I'm getting all my Social Security benefits. I'm not trying to avoid paying into Social Security. I'm kind of wanting that to be maxed out as well.
Because that'll hurt you later, right?
Yeah, and if you're kind of saying, well, it's not going to be around, well, then this country isn't going to be here either. Yeah. So you may regret that later. It's kind of like having a pension.
Okay, so when we talk about the 401k analyzer service, and actually there's two questions that we walked up to yesterday that we're going to continue. Number one, how much do you need to contribute? Number two, where do you put it? Those are the big questions that when we all get a new job and we sit down at the new corporation and we're trying to learn our stuff on the first day, and they're like, hey, go ahead and sign up for your benefits. And you just want to whip through it 5-10 minutes as fast as you can. So I didn't put a whole lot of thought into this.
When I set mine up
at the time.
Where do I think you should land? I think you should land with max contributions. In fact, Sophie, which handles a lot of our back office, and that as well, she said, oh, yeah, they sent out a notice that you had already contributed your max. I can't contribute any more for the month of December. So I'm kind of done. We try to play it out, but I don't know where it gets at. It doesn't matter to me, long as I've maxed out. So I put everything I can into my 401k. And, of course, we have a staff of 11, so, or 12. Sometimes I lose count. With that said, everybody's participating if they've been with us for a year. So they all get to contribute. They get the matching. I believe if you contribute 5%, I match 4% in comparison. So I'm matching 100% on the first, second, and third percent, then 0.5% on 4 and 5. So that's where you're getting a 100% match.
Well, Lynn says that if she contributes the match, she's not going to have a paycheck left. So let's put the window in. The minimum should be what your employer matches. The maximum is the max you're allowed to contribute.
Well, let me finish that because I jumped sideways when I was kind of speaking about the matching, and mine's cut off because I've hit that. And what you have to work on is, start where you're comfortable, because you have to, you know, get your footing on that. Okay, well, I'm going to start with a couple percent and start working your way up as you adjust to that. One of the things, if they're matching, you know, say 100% of the first 3 or 4%, you want to get that match. That's like free money, that if you're putting in $50, they're putting in $50 for you. That's like free money. You don't want to pass that up. Now, can you contribute a lot more than that? Absolutely. And that's, you know, my company matches mine as well. So remember, yeah, I own the company, but I'm also an employee for that company. And my philosophy is, have I always done that, done the max? No, have not always done the max, but I do now. And it's just kind of, once again, working your way up. And I've told people, well, you know, they match, but I hadn't even started it. God, do something. Start working your way up, and eventually maybe you can get to where you are putting in 18 or 20 or 24,000 a year into that 401k. And why we say that is, you're going to need more money than you expect for retirement. Most don't have enough. And how much should you contribute?
As much as you can.
And when should you start?
Right now.
Right now.
Well, having
so
that,
you have to work your way there too, with that said, and I understand Lynn's situation.
Yeah, and once you get the amount, though, that you can tolerate putting in there, you know, you want to aim for the match, but now you got to choose the fund. We talked about that a little bit last week. Can you just kind of do like a 1 minute recap on that? So,
as far as what choices inside of that?
Yeah, because, I mean, it's kind of limited, and I'm really drawn to the target date funds, but I'm also drawn to the ones that say that they're low risk, low beta, and, you know, low yield, but there's not a whole lot of volatility, non-aggressive.
What we're really talking about is equity bond mixes when you're doing target funds. Now, if you choose, let's say, I'm going to just throw out of here, 2050. Is your target date for retirement. So that's kind of why it's called a target or lifestyle fund.
Sounds about right.
And mostly you're going to be equities, because it's a long ways out. So they're looking at it like a buy and hold and just contribute that way. You're going to probably have a variety of equities, small, mid, and large caps inside of it, very little cash or bonds. Now, if you're choosing, let's see, we're in almost 27. Okay, 2020 is your target date fund. You're going to see that more than 50% probably in bonds and treasuries and cash, and less than half in equities. And as you get closer to that, it's still going to continue to shift more to where you might only be 20, 25% in equities.
All right. If you have a question about what to do with your 401k, you just piling money in and ignoring it, give us a call, 504-260-0995. That includes you people in the scope room. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
iHeartRadio just got better. We've always given you the best stations from across the country and personalized artist stations. Today, we introduce unlimited access to our iHeartRadio music library.
Hey, what's up, y'all? It's Kelly Clarkson.
Millions of songs you can search and play on demand. Unlimited skips. Create your own playlists and take the music you love offline to listen without using data or needing a connection.
All your favorite radio stations and unlimited music all in one app.
Open the iHeartRadio app and try everything free for a month.
This is iHeartRadio.
The Ricks Report with Gregory Ricks.
Honestly, the companies don't want you to stay in their 401k if you left, because they have a good bit of liability with you staying there. So there may be encouragement, or some plans are adjusted to, you've left the company, you have to move the plan. So if you do a rollover to an IRA, now how many choices do you have? Everything. You have, you know, your Wall Street choices, equities, mutual funds, ETFs, bonds, tremendous amount of choices. Or you're going to now actually have safe money choices as well. If you want to go no risk with that money, you can do that as well.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Weeknights at 7, Saturday morning at 10 on News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Find me at GregoryRicks.com, the Gregory Ricks and Associates app, or 504-832-9200.
I'm Ashley Dvorkin with a Fox TV profile. National Geographic's epic event series, Mars, looks to show what a mission to Mars would be like in the year 2033. Mixing both documentary interviews with a scripted drama. President of the Mars Society, Robert Zubrin, who's featured in the series, shared what we've learned from the Mars Desert Research Station in terms of what the conditions would be like on the red planet.
Well, what we're really doing at the Mars Desert Research Station is what we call an operational simulation, more than a technical engineering simulation. But we find out how you would run a mission on Mars. And so, for example, what we've discovered by running it a number of ways is the mission has got to be led from the front. That is, the commander of the mission is the commander of the crew. Just all sorts of other things. What kind of mobility systems are the best? People have speculated sometimes large, you know, RV-sized vehicles, maybe medium SUV-sized vehicles. We prefer ATV-sized vehicles.
Ashley Dvorkin, Fox News.
Fox News Radio, I'm Pat O'Neill. With Donald Trump and many Republicans promising to do away with Obamacare, the president using his weekly address to defend the Affordable Care Act.
Any partisan talk you hear about repealing or replacing the Affordable Care Act should be judged by whether they keep all those improvements that benefit you and your family right now.
Thursday's the deadline to sign up for Obamacare for next year. In the GOP address, Michigan Congressman Fred Upta congratulating colleagues for passing the 21st Century Cures Bill designed to speed up medical research and FDA approval.
This is one of the most important and impactful bills that will enact this Congress.
Some groups claim that faster drug approval could open the door for unsafe drugs. Prosecutors using the Charleston church shooter's Dylan Roof's own words against him in the death penalty trial, introducing as evidence a handwritten journal by Roof with racist slurs. He's confessed to the shootings. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The contents of this show are meant for educational and entertainment purposes only and is not meant to take place of your attorney, accountant, tax professional, personal trainer, football coach, interior decorator, or those fortune tellers at Jackson Square. Please consult a financial advisor before making all investment decisions.
Gregory Ricks & Associates is a registered investment advisory firm. If you'd like a copy of Form ADV, our full disclosures, call the office 504-832-9200 or go to GregoryRicks.com.
Live from the Gregory Ricks and Associates studio, this is News Talk 99.5 WRNO.
Welcome back. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. This is the weekly wrap. We do this every Saturday from 10 to 1 p.m., followed by Dwayne Stein's show, Mortgage Gumbo. For the, you know, the hour following our show, he's a member of the Total Wealth Authority. Let's see, next hour we have Tracy and Stephanie of Dwell Nola Realty. That's part of the Total Wealth Authority that will be joining us. We have CPA firm Jude Heath and Company, or it's J. Heath and Company to be exact, and also Wes Blanchard of W.J. Blanchard Law is the estate attorney affiliated with us.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to the Dwell Nola Hour. They're going to be talking about deductions, tax deductions for your investment properties.
If you have a financial situation, not sure what to do, 504-260-0995. Where else can you just say on Saturday? It's like, think about mowing grass, but winter shut it down. Caught Gregory. Oh, those A-share mutual funds, you know, some or 401k help. Give us a call.
Well, the thing that frustrates me when I listen to other financial shows is they don't talk about Social Security planning. They don't talk about what to do with your 401k. I mean, a little bit I've heard on it, like a Dave Ramsey or a Clark Howard. They've been asked those questions before, and they give different sort of answers. But they're focused on different things: saving money, getting out of debt, things like that. Not necessarily investing, not necessarily retirement planning, not necessarily if you just inherited $200,000 from a great uncle, what's a smart thing to do with it. Is it too soon to start talking about our next speaking event? mean, just get it on the radar?
No, actually, it's filling up.
Thursday.
And it's still, what, a month away?
Over a month away. Thursday, January 19th. You can RSVP by phone, by the website, or by the app.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised how many calls we're getting for it. So I think it's probably 50% full at this point, and we've really not talked about it. That's over in next year.
Yeah, that's in 2017. 2017 is just 21 days away, though, Gregory. Seriously, three weeks from now is New Year's Eve. We're going to crown a football champion, and then all of a sudden you got to turn around and boom, then it's Mardi Gras, and then it's, you know, the rest of your life going on. Then it's 2017.
Yeah, I'm already going through LSU playing on Saturday night withdrawals, and you're going to soon be going through, what is it, January 21st or something, Super Bowl, if you're Dak-led Cowboys make it that far, then you're going to be through serious withdrawals having a year like this. This is like none other.
Hey, did you hear that guy listening? He said, if they make it to the Super Bowl. He's a kidder over here. This is Gregory. It's the comedy hour on Saturday. Do you realize the slow motion miracle that's happening in front of your face? When have you ever had the best quarterback in the league that's a rookie? It's happened. Dan Marino, maybe Tom Brady, their rookie years.
Brett Favre had a pretty good year, but
he wasn't the best in the league because his rookie year was right up there with Troy Aikman and John Elway. That's who he was competing against. The best running back in the league for the year being a rookie. How often has that happened?
Not much.
Yeah, now how often has it happened in the same year, and then how often has it happened on the same team? We are in, like, astronomical odds of destiny happening right here in front of your face.
And just think, if a starting quarterback and starting running back had not been injured in the preseason.
Another
how
destiny.
Would this have looked? How would this have looked? I don't think you would be a one-loss team.
No, we'd probably be like 7-4. We'd still be above average,
yeah.
And they would win just enough that we wouldn't bench either one of them too.
Yeah,
magic, absolutely. Anyway, that's why I'm excited, and also because my two college teams totally flushed it this season. Longhorns and Baylor, nothing. They did nothing for me. All right, hey, back to business here.
Well, aren't Longhorns getting a new coach?
Well, yeah. The fact that they need a new coach is because they just had three losing seasons in a row. After they went 11 years in a row with 10-win seasons. Yeah, there it is. I can hear what's left of the Longhorns football program. There it goes.
They struggled because the reason this guy had 3 years is they were losing before that. And they just kept giving that coach a chance. Come on. Let's keep him another year.
All right, well, I check this out. The S&P gained 3.7% in November of 2016. This is the second best month of the year behind March, and the best November result since 2009. So that was a pretty good November, but this was all driven by what, Gregory? What happened in November that changed the outlook of the financial world?
Trump.
Can we give him credit for
Trump.
That, though?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess we have to.
You kind of have to. I know half of you aren't happy and said, oh, he's terrible. He's going to run half the people out the country or whatever. But he won. And there's been a rally ever since on the market. Just slight pauses, then it keeps going. When have you ever seen a president-elect go do a thank you tour? Do you ever remember that?
Never even heard
Obama
of that.
Obama didn't do it. Didn't do it.
Look, here's something that shocked me about his thank you tour. Was it yesterday he was in Baton Rouge? He was in our backyard down here. We broadcast out of the New Orleans area. And Donald Trump went from Baton Rouge. He came there in the morning, got on a plane, went to Grand Rapids, did another speech. He's still acting like he's on the campaign trail doing different speeches across the continent.
Exactly.
This dude's hustling. Usually after a presidential election, you're so exhausted and you're so worn out and you're so burnt out, you take about 3 weeks to just sit at home and drink some hot tea and recover in your rocking chair before you get back at it. This guy didn't take a break.
And what did he do, two rallies yesterday?
Yeah.
And you know, throughout the week and the weekend, he's having meetings, building out his cabinet, getting ready to get started on the job. And he's still, maybe he just loves the crowd. He loves working.
He definitely loves the crowd. Jeez. He's
kind of like,
up.
What? I can't campaign anymore?
Probably so.
Yeah, what? I've got to take nights off now?
No, you know what I'm thinking is he's like, man, The Apprentice was only on once a week. This is way better. That's what I'm thinking. He is loving this.
And right. The press is always there.
Just dripping on his every word.
Think, I'm not to get on the political side or something, but you know where you have some of those. It's like, you know, he hadn't done a press conference in 6 months or whatever. I bet you. I think Trump's going to be one of those presidents. Like, what, another press conference?
Somebody shut this guy up. Right.
It'll be the opposite side. He's going to. Yeah, I'm going to make sure you know, but if it's ISIS, you ask me a question, what are you going to do about ISIS? We're not telling you, because that'd be telling them. But we're going to get rid of them.
Mm-hmm.
They know that's coming.
And now you can't say it's just bluster, because he's like, I'm gonna save these jobs. The carrier's not going to be able to move these jobs to Mexico. And they would say, what's he going to do? He's not going to do anything. He doesn't know what to do. He's like, I'm not going to tell you. And then sure enough, the dude's not even in office yet.
Yeah, one of the pushes this week that helped the market also is bringing money and business from outside the U.S. coming in. And the gentleman that did that, he's over in Indonesia or something. I can't remember, but it basically said, yeah, if Hillary had won, I wouldn't be making this investment.
Oh, that was the Japanese company.
Yeah. So making an investment here.
The 50 bill. That's right.
Yeah. That's a sizable amount of money to commit.
All right. Well, in the next segment, we're going to recap what we talked about yesterday with the Dallas pension system. But this is, I want to expand this, because now that I had some time to think about it, you know, you sleep on it.
Now you're talking about the pension?
The Dallas.
About to go into that? Did we wrap up on the 401k analyzer?
I was comfortable with what we did there.
Okay, well, let me just let everybody know, if you like that, what you were hearing, want to find out more, you can go to the website. But more importantly, call the office. You can call the office right now. There'll be somebody to interact with you, and we'll follow up with you on Monday. You can, you know, if I'm not on the air, we have a day job running a financial firm that gives advice and money management and helping people. And the office number is 504-832-9200, and we'll help get you started. Now we can go on to
bad
news on Friday.
Well, we made the very astute connection. What's happening in Dallas is going to be happening in some form or fashion here in New Orleans, here in the state of Louisiana. It's going to be happening in Detroit. It's going to be happening in Illinois. It's going to be happening with that Teamsters pension. You know, we are in uncharted territory, partially because ultra-low interest rates have sped up the diminishing returns. Yeah, it froze over there. We'll start it again.
Okay.
But I was thinking, you know, we missed one connection that we should have made with not the defined contribution plans, but the defined benefit plans. You know what else this mirrors? Social Security. When FDR proposed Social Security in 1935, they projected that the Social Security expenditures in 1980, 45 years in the future, would be $1.3 billion per year. That year in 1980. You know how much they actually spent on expenditures from Social Security in 1980? $149
billion. Oh, that's kind of a little bit off.
Well, they were only off by a factor of 100. More on that coming up. 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Tell me what you want to hear. Something that will light those ears. Something wrong and insincere. So I'm going to give all my secrets away.
Welcome back. We're here to give you all of our secrets. I have the best seed in the county, and I share it with all the other farmers. Yeah, we're aware. A huge part of the financial community tunes into this show as well as the rest of you. And we don't hold anything back here. Used to bother me 6.5 years ago, and I quickly got over that. We were doing a iHeart gathering at a barbecue place somewhere not far from here. And I remember somebody sitting down, and he works in the financial community, and he's telling me all the stuff he's learning from me and using to better his business. And I was thinking, what? You shouldn't even be listening to my show.
Yeah, how dare you?
And then, you know, I read that story about the farmer and his corn and his seed sharing to make sure everybody else, because he said if everybody else is growing inferior corn, it's going to affect mine negatively. So he wanted his corn to always prosper, so he made sure other farmers prospered as well. Great concept.
Do you know how accurate that metaphor is, though? Because I remember when we started doing the show for the first few years, we spent a lot of time cleaning up people who were getting into variable annuities. We spent a lot of time cleaning up people who got into REITs or did bad investing. And it made your job harder and made Gregory Ricks and Associates less able to pick up the pieces. And the turnaround came when people started coming to us and sliding that little deck of papers across the table. It's like, here's my variable annuities. It's like, well, at least we got you in quick. At least you recognize your mistake before it's harder to unwind. And we're better off because of it, too.
And we give them the rules of what to look for if you're offered that financial product or you're offered a financial product, what to ask for. So the listeners are gaining more information, and those pushing inferior tools or are more like pulling a switch. They're wanting no risk, but they're offered a variable annuity, and they're making an assumption that it's a no-risk financial tool. And then later finding out, I thought I had no exposure on this financial tool. So they're knowing more on the front end, and they're coming in with a second opinion. Even during their free look period, they'll come, hey, I just got this in. I heard the show. I want your opinion on that. And that's why I'm a believer in a second opinion, and that's if somebody comes and talks to our firm, and they're saying, well, we're kind of interviewing a few firms. I applaud that. Now, my meetings, I always think of as a two-meeting process. Just one doesn't get it done because there's too much to cover in too short a period of time. And I'm of the philosophy of after an hour, you're kind of loaded up. You need to go absorb that. Then we can sit down and talk again. But I applaud the second opinion process, and I think everybody should utilize it.
Which makes me wish the Dallas Fireman and Policeman's Pension had talked to us beforehand, too. Because just like that Social Security example, they thought when the program was enacted in 1935, their expenditures in 1980, the last year they predicted, would be $1.3 billion. They really spent $149 billion. So they're off by a factor of more than 100. I wonder what the Dallas Fireman and Policeman's Pension thought their expenditures would be in 2016. Do you think they thought it would be over $500 million? And that's just since August. Let's do a little backstory here.
I was just thinking, you need to, they're saying, what's going on in Dallas with the pension?
I felt that too.
Yeah. Let's bring them up to speed with what happened yesterday and what led up to yesterday.
Okay. The story, fast forward past the, you've probably already assumed that they have a fireman and policeman's pension, just like in New Orleans and so many other cities around the country, that's deathly behind on what they're supposed to be funded at. And in August, another report came out, and they said this fireman and policeman pension fund is going to be insolvent in 15 years. So you're either going to have to drastically jack up contributions or drastically cut benefits. And what makes Dallas a little different is they pair their pension system with a drop plan, which allows policemen and firemen. Yes, you make your pension contribution, but if you would like to supplement that, you can contribute more to the pension fund. And then when you get your check out, it'll be what your regular pension was supposed to be, plus an increased chunk based on how much you contributed via the drop plan. The difference is you can go back and get that drop money out at any time. You just have to give them you have to put in the paperwork, and it comes out in the next month's distributions.
It's similar to, or maybe the same as, the drop program that takes care of teachers, police, and firemen in this state as well, where they, for state employees, can take their last 3 years of what the state was and them were going to contribute to the pension, or the state to the pension, and contribute to their drop account. And it and that can get, pile up over 3 years. Then they have an option that can be a part of their pension or can be a separate account that they take distributions from. Or they can take the lump sum out and create a taxable event, or they can roll it over to an IRA. And it turns out, and we're not saying there's any problems here, but it's scary with what's happening in Dallas that you have the numbers on what's been, I don't have that pulled up here, but
I do.
They were due to have to pay out $156 million yesterday.
$154, right.
And they got a little over $700 million in cash, but the way their numbers work, they said we have to maintain $600 million in cash on a $2.1 billion now. Mm-hmm. And the scary thing that was revealed is where we're talking about drop, and this is available for money to take out. Some $500 million has been withdrawn over the past few weeks. It turns out half the pension fund's money is drop money that, for the most part, has always been on-demand money. Hey, I want to roll over my drop money. I want to take my drop as a distribution, or I'm taking income. And this, they've even frozen RMDs.
Okay, so the numbers are, in August, the pension fund was at almost $2.7 billion. Since the August announcement, people have gone and withdrawn from their drop accounts to the tune of $500 million. So now we're sitting at about $2.1 billion. There was another $154 that was requested, and it just goes out with the next check. And the next check was supposed to go out yesterday. Dallas announced Thursday that we're not cutting anyone's check on Friday. So the people that wanted their drop withdrawals, they got a big fat no. And the people who were going to get a pension check are missing a month. And people are furious. 56% of the funds still left in that $2.1 billion are drop accounts.
So that just shows how underfunded the pension is when half of it's drop money, which really, where does the drop money come from? The last 3 years of them working for that state entity, not their life's work there, just the last 3 years, and it makes up over 50%.
Well, the question that I can hear people screaming in their car, could this happen here? Is this what's going to happen here? I mean, could, yes. Is this what's going to happen here? No way of knowing. But what kind of soft language do you give the policemen and firemen here locally who are concerned about this happening? Well, I mean, what would you tell them? What kind of guidance? Have a backup plan? Don't put money in drop anymore. Go put it in your own little after-tax account or open a Roth or
something. Well, put money
in
drop is a great option to have because it gives you money that could take out. Because the reality is, James, there's a lot of people I see that, for example, on the private sector side, everything they have is in their 401k. So do they – and there's times I see there's not much of what I consider emergency money. There's not much of that. So when having drop kind of gives you the ability to separate money out, it's still taxable money, but it's separate out from that. So I wouldn't say stop doing drop, but this is going to lead people to think about, should I leave that drop account with them? Because it turns out most did in the Dallas program. Here's the incentive of why people leave the drop here in Louisiana that will leave it, because we have state income tax in Louisiana, and if you take distributions from the drop account, you're not paying state income tax on those distributions, but if you roll it over to an IRA, you're going to pay taxes to the state on those distributions.
So if it can stay solvent, that's a great program.
Oh, it is, and it's had a history of good returns, but hadn't we always kind of heard that?
Well,
I've told many stories. Oh, it's always good until it goes bad.
This is an impossible, mathematically speaking, this is an impossible scenario to continue, because they're promising 7.25% return on all that money in the pension fund. That ain't happening. Not after 8 years of ultra-low 0.5% federal funds rate. This is a no-yield world or ultra-low-yield world. And the math on all these pensions, while it wasn't gonna sustain itself to begin with, this just sped up the downturn, though.
So. Yeah, those expected returns way, way off. And I don't know, maybe I was just covering up. They'd have to put more money in to fund it if they were using reasonable estimates.
Coming up next, Well Nola Realty. Deductions for investment properties on your taxes, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. The phone number, if you want to get involved, is 504-260-0995. If you have a question about your 401k, your situation with the pension, if the story about the Dallas Fireman and Policeman's pension getting frozen here, and the withdrawals getting frozen. It's got you concerned. 504-260-0995. I'm with you. So in this hour, we're going to talk to a couple of partners of the Total Wealth Authority here, the partners of the Dwell Nola Realty firm, Tracy and Stephanie. They are partners in their own little boutique real estate firm here in New Orleans, and they're our trusted advisors and part of the team. The Total Wealth Authority is, we lovingly refer to it as the Justice League of your money. And so I guess Gregory would be Superman and maybe Dwayne would be Batman. I don't want to call these girls the Wonder Twins, though, even though they do always come in pairs and they're very similar. Are you okay with being the Wonder Twins?
Absolutely.
Yes, you are okay with being the Wonder Twins. See, I wouldn't want to be.
In the form of water.
Yeah, but they were the worst heroes.
I don't care.
Yeah, but here's the deal. if you go back and you think about the cartoon, the Wonder Twins would be faced with a situation, and they would often spring into action first. I'm talking with Stephanie over here. She seems to be activated by the Wonder Twins. but in the situation they were in, it would inevitably, they would turn into something basically useless. I'm going to turn into a well rope. I'm going to turn into a lawnmower. And then they would get their butts kicked, and then someone would have to come bail them out, usually Superman. So I don't know if you want to be the Wonder Twins, even though they are kind of the cutesy patootie. I guess y'all could be like a combined Wonder Woman. Is that okay if I'm
oh, not, yeah. Okay. That's totally fine.
Combined Stacy, so...
Yeah. All right. So we got you in studio here to talk about something that Gregory Ricks and I love, and that's paying as little taxes as possible, getting all those write-offs. Because how good is the feeling, Gregory, when you go from thinking you're going to have a huge tax bill to either getting one that's drastically reduced or, God forbid, getting money back? Dwayne and I were about ready to mouth kiss another member of the Total Wealth Authority, Jude Heath. Hey, listen. I was expecting to owe money, and I ended up getting money back. He was expecting a giant bill, and his bill came in less than half of what he expected. So maybe you're used to fantastic tax planning and strategies and getting all your deductions, but the rest of us aren't. The rest of us, we get cleaned out when it comes to tax season. So what we're doing here is deductions for investment properties. And investment properties, always a hot topic, because this is the weird thing. People always think they can do that. People get a little bit extra money in their savings account, and they want to go chase some yield, and there's no yield out there. What can I do? Well, I'll just buy an extra house, and I'll rent it out. Hey, I'll just open this other business. And, you know, we kind of like to warn against that. Do you have any expertise in managing property? What makes you think you can do this job so easily? And if it's that easy, why isn't everyone doing it? Well, this does make it easier. This does make, financially speaking, makes it quite a bit more viable. Deductions for investment properties. Y'all having fun over there?
No.
Okay.
We're not figure out the headphones.
That one's dead. That box is dead right there.
Yeah, I'm going to hook you up right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gregory's getting an adapter. See, he's been doing this long enough. He's got some radio engineering chops under his belt. See that?
Can you hear?
Oh, yeah, I can hear.
I'm not talking to you.
Oh, you're talking to
me. Yeah,
her.
Now I have like the Mercedes headphones on. They're
no,
nice.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm not talking to you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Y'all all settled now? Can we do this?
We're good.
Okay. Look, in unison. See, maybe they are the Wonder Twins. That's what I'm telling you. All right. So deductions for investment properties for taxes. Now, are we talking about anytime anybody buys an investment property, or is this one of these where we have different rules for people who are buying it under their IRA? Or some situation like that. This I looking at the notes, this applies to anyone who has an investment property,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this is just invest. You know, let me just preface this with, we're not CPAs, so we're not going to get into this in depth. But they have some deductions that I find that some of my friends that have investment properties, or some of my clients I sell investment properties to, they're not really sure of all the deductions. So we'll review some of those ahead of time with them, but we do ask them to get with their CPAs, you know, our accountants ahead of time to figure that out.
What do you think is the most common one that gets left on the table? Do y'all have any sort of say-so on that? I know you're not there when people are filling out their tax returns, but a lot of these look like something that people would miss, look like something I would miss if I was doing investment
properties.
Well,
the obvious thing is interest. You know, you can deduct interest, and interest is the biggest deduction you can take. But you can take mortgage interest, loans that are used for improvement and your credit card interest. So a lot of people just think mortgage interest. That's all they think about.
That's all I think about.
Yeah. So if you get a separate loan to do improvements, you can take the interest on that and on the credit cards that you use to charge for your supplies or whatever you charge on your credit card for the property.
Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yep. Yep.
Well good. Already learned something. This hour's not wasted.
Yes.
In the first segment.
Exactly.
Good job.
Exactly.
All right. Just stop me when if this gets too uncomfortable. Both of y'all have investment properties?
No.
Yes.
Tracy does.
Yes.
Stephanie does not.
No.
Okay. So I think we may have to lean on Tracy's a little bit more. Slide that over. There you go. There
According to Periscope, the Wonder Twins need more volume.
Oh, we need more volume.
Well,
volume.
You're going to have to tell her, and she's screening calls over there. Yeah. We'll tell her in just a second. All right. So the credit card, really? So if I go buy a new lawnmower at Home Depot and I put it on the credit card and I use it on my investment properties.
But that's why you need your CPA, because it has to be the interest on that portion of the purchase. So if you don't have a specific credit card for your properties and you're charging it on your personal credit card, you'd have to break down the interest for that one item or those
wouldn't
items.
Wouldn't we tell someone to make an LLC? For the love of God, protect yourself, Gregory. That's your domain.
Well, how I do my businesses, I have several entities. Each entity has a couple of credit cards, typically an Amex and a Visa. Now, sometimes that gets messed up, and that's why I have an accounting department. Sometimes funds have to be shifted. Like, they're like, Gregory, you used the wrong credit card. I said, well, I thought this was for this one, so I'll get scolded a little bit. But it keeps your accounting separate. And if you're running it through your personal, your business stuff, that's like a red flag
there. Yeah, do not do
that. That will get you in trouble.
You do not want to be personally liable for any of this.
Yeah.
So if you are going to do investment property, it's definitely a good idea to set it up as a separate entity from yourself.
Yeah,
if you get foreclosed on or anything else, you don't want that to be affecting you as a personal human being.
Well, even just like for Stephanie and I with our personal business, with Dwell, we have a separate credit card that we only charge business items on.
I'll throw in something else. And this is, Wes talks about this, is if you're going to be sued and it's all in a corporate entity, what the opposing attorneys are looking for is how to break that corporate shield.
Yeah, the corporate
and get
veil,
to you
yeah.
personally,
exactly.
And that's kind of what you're referring to, is don't give them the opportunity,
exactly.
Keep those things separate. And that's where so many people get into real estate and they don't turn it into a business. Even with the first property, I think, and look, if you're buying one and you're thinking it's going to be a business, you should think of bigger and having more. So start it up correctly. It doesn't cost much.
Well, one of the easiest things with breaking that corporate veil is when you get money, say you sell a property and you get that money and then you haven't planned that far ahead, so you don't have a separate account for it as a business, and you go deposit it into your personal checking account. I mean, those are things that those attorneys are going to be looking for,
yeah.
Because then that automatically links you personally to that transaction. So, yeah, definitely when you think this is what you want to do, think it through from A to Z.
Well, I found it amazingly easy when the LLC was set up for me and it has its own debit card, because
yeah,
I did it this
exactly.
week. I had to go to Lowe's and the stuff I bought for my house, I swiped it on my personal card, the
mm-hmm.
stuff I bought for my business,
yep.
and there was quite a bit of it, swiped it on my business card. But it's so easy now, too, because there's no shoebox of receipts anymore. What I do is I flip that other receipt that I got for the business on the counter when I make the purchase, before I even leave the cash register, take out my phone and take a picture
yep.
of it. And then, boom, I have it. It gets slid into a file on my hard drive once a month whenever I clean off my phone
yeah.
or whenever. And, Jude Heath, another member of the you going to be all right?
Yeah, I'm okay. That's why I got some water. Thank you.
Right. But Jude Heath said that's the way to go. It doesn't matter if it's the actual paper receipt or if you're sending him a JPEG of the receipt.
Right.
It all counts the same. Super easy to keep track of. And if there's no mixing, it's harder for them to break through that shield, that corporate shield.
Yes, absolutely.
So do y'all do something similar to that?
We do. Well, we do that. I do that with investment property, but we do that with our business, too. When we will go, sometimes we'll go to Home Depot and we need stuff, or Lowe's or whatever. We need stuff for the business and for the personal home. Well, just while I'm there, I'm buying stuff for my house. So I personal credit card and business credit card.
Yeah, and I just want to point that out because it sounds complicated, but it's only slightly more work. Yeah. I mean, it's a little bit. It's not free. You're going to have to do something. You're going to have to be a little more organized, but not much. And technology makes it so easy. The phone makes it so easy.
Trust me. It's really simple.
It's easier to be organized on the front end than to have to go back and weed all that out after the fact.
Absolutely. Okay. Gregory?
Something you asked them a few minutes ago, I want to go back to.
Okay.
And that's regarding who owns investment properties. So Stephanie quickly said no.
Yes.
And Tracy, was that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, then I kind of want each of you to tell why you do and why you don't.
Because I don't want to be a landlord.
No, she's...
I don't want to. I don't want to be called in the middle of the night. You know, we have... Our company is fantastic in the sense that we have agents that are very dedicated to certain parts of real estate. And in our office, we have some that specifically do property management, and they are fantastic at it. They don't mind the calls in the middle of the night. They don't mind dealing with, you know, the fact that there's water rushing through the ceiling, whatever it may be. I don't want to do that. That's just me personally. That's not something that I'm interested in doing. Well, I would rather have them handle it.
Well, we, Stephanie and I used to do property management at the beginning of our career, and she hated it.
I didn't like it. No.
I didn't particularly care for it either. I mean, it's not my favorite, but for my own properties, I'm just going to keep it to that. I don't want to manage any other properties. Olivia Price, one of our agents, she's awesome at it. That she has so many properties that she manages. It's phenomenal.
She's an amazing property manager.
Great. Yeah, she's great.
All right, we're talking with Tracy and Stephanie, partners of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm. DwellNola.com is their website. And we're talking about tax deductions on your investment properties. We also have some real estate that we'd like to, for you to be made aware of later in the hour. David and Metairie, your question is going to be answered next. If you want to be after David, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. You gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can let your head down, hey. I know it's hard, no, it's hard to remember sometimes. But you gotta keep your head up, oh, and you can
Welcome
let
back.
Your head down.
Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We have Stephanie and Tracy in studio, owners, founders of Dwell Nola Realty and part of the Total Wealth Authority. If you have a financial situation, just dial us up, 504-260-0995.
We're going to continue with talking about tax deductions on investment properties, whether you have them or you're thinking about getting them. Always good advice to know. But first, we're going to go to the phones. David and Metairie, thank you very much for holding. How can we help you, sir?
Well, it's on your discussion concerning these piercings of corporate veils. The thing that Gregory referred to that he didn't expound upon when he said he was being scolded was that his accounting staff, running a basic accounting software, properly classifies and moves the money such that no matter whether he mixes personal or corporate, they reclassify it appropriately on his accounting books as whether it was a personal distribution to him or an accounting expense to the firm done on a personal credit card. And even for deposited checks, if you cash them in, i.e. treat them as cash in, then cash out as a disbursement to the owner, and you keep an appropriate set of accounting records, which is the number one failure of all small business entrepreneurs, you can easily defend that corporate veil because you classified the transaction correctly and you bothered to pay a bookkeeper like myself a fee hourly, which no one wants to pay, to keep you a set of QuickBooks. And then your corporate veil cannot be pierced as long as you're honest about the transactions.
Do you use QuickBooks?
You know it, for 20 straight years, balance to the bank. And most people who even have QuickBooks don't even bother to balance it to their bank statement.
Oh, yeah, I totally understand. I didn't always do it that way, but once we shifted to having corporate entities and several of them, yeah, I can't tell you how all that works, but that's why we do that. And everything is accounted for. And it's not that I mix, but sometimes I'll use one corporate card when I was supposed to use the other. And there's one time I was without a corporate card. I was at Costco and had a big purchase, and I just handed them the wrong card. But then they go back and they fix all that and account for every penny going into the right place. And that's where, you know, and we don't have much cash situation, but they make sure that I don't pocket anything. If somebody says, hey, I want one of those blankets, I'm going to give me $20 for it, we're good. That runs through the business the way it should. We don't cheat, steal from the company, or anything in that case.
No, I was stating the same thing, maybe with different words. When I said cash, example, a $10,000 check could be cashed personally by a person, but if his accounting staff showed it as cash in for $10,000 and cash out $10,000 disbursement, that's still legal, and no one pierced a corporate veil. He just took a draw or a disbursement of income or a repayment of a loan or what have you, and an appropriate bookkeeper, as your accounting staff is doing for you, can fix those transactions. Again, most of these entrepreneurs don't have these record-keeping devices, so they don't have a defense that a bookkeeper and a set of QuickBooks could give them.
Yes, I think Gregory was getting scolded because his bookkeeper had more work to do than,
exactly.
We
paid hourly to do that work, and it's not that hard.
Yeah.
See, and this is what we're talking about. When you go into investment properties, don't get one, get several. Make it a big enough enterprise that you can get a David, because it actually at some point becomes less work when you get more properties.
Yeah, it's not that complicated to start it from the beginning and learn QuickBooks, and it's simple, it tracks, and no matter how you're a one-person business, we'll do it the right way from the beginning because you should be planning to grow that business anyhow.
And anybody who has QuickBooks, who has a file not balanced to their bank, who's been using it to operate their business, which you still can do, if you hire someone, they can come in there in the last 3 months of the year, mimic your QuickBooks files, line it up to your tax return from the previous year, and produce you a perfectly working, balanced to the bank QuickBooks file to replace your old piece of trash. And now when you go to the bank, you can get a corporate loan in the name of your corporation if your tax returns equal your balance sheet and income statement that they were produced from in a QuickBooks file. quickest way to easily get a corporate loan is to have that good books available to you.
All right. Thank you very much, David. Good stuff, man. We have a very passionate bookkeeper. And that, see, these are the people we always look for when you think, you know, doing taxes or accounting or general ledger, that's so boring. There's people out there that live for this stuff, Gregory. That's
see,
a special breed.
Where else do you get that but live radio listeners contributing that way? That was awesome call.
Yes, a guy that's passionate about keeping a general ledger. Those are special people. You need them on your team because I'm not that guy. I'm Captain Sloppy. Angie, you leaning in the mic for a reason over there?
Yeah, I just want to say I'm glad he's passionate because think of all the money he saved and all the trouble he didn't have to worry about because of simple bookkeeping.
Oh, no, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm flawed for not being passionate about keeping up with my books and saving money. This is why I love Jude Heath. This is why me and Dwayne are so ecstatic about our taxes. It's because we're repulsed. No offense, David. We're repulsed by the stuff that you're into. So we're a good team. You probably don't like to do all this creative big picture sort of stuff. Or, you know, you don't like all the piles. You like files. You know, it takes all kinds. You know, who's going to be a smart aleck on the radio? David. Back to Tracy and Stephanie. Deductions for investment property. Let's talk about depreciation.
Depreciation. So it's not deductible in the year of your purchase, but deducting a portion of the cost of the property over several years. That's just how they use depreciation deductions. That's just straight up. I mean, you got to talk to your CPA about anything in depth. Repairs and maintenance, deductible in the year they're incurred. Okay, then you have supplies, cleaning supplies, paint, gardening supplies, any supplies that you go to Home Depot and purchase. Like James, you use your separate credit card to do that. If for some reason you're not doing that, you need to keep track of every single receipt. Well, you need to keep track of all your receipts either way, but you need to keep track of all your receipts if you're charging it on your personal card. Make sure that you're keeping everything that is deductible for that property. Landscaping, if you hire a landscaper to come and redo the whole property, that's deductible. Anything for the property is deductible. That any workers, utilities when it's unoccupied. I think a lot of people don't realize that. So when you don't have a tenant, say you're in between tenants and you're paying the utilities, you deduct that. Don't forget about that. Local travel and long distance travel. A lot of people don't realize they don't deduct their local travel. So you can deduct your gases, your upkeep, your repairs. Either deduct those actual costs or you can use a standard mileage rate from the IRS website. That can get tricky. So make sure that you check with your CPA on how to use that properly if you're going to use the mileage from the IRS. That's for local travel. Long distance travel, Gregory knows a lot about this. Overnight travel, you can deduct airfare, hotel meals. But the IRS auditors look at this very, very closely because a lot of people try to use
vacations,
their travel and their vacations. And they're okay with you vacationing as long as you're working at the same time. So, but just be careful when you're doing that. Don't overdo it. You know, make sure that you're not buying gifts for yourself to take home and counting that as and charging that to your
business account.
Yeah,
but you can get away with I don't want to say get away with, it's legal to have a lot of deductions when you're out on a business trip. Almost
yeah.
All your food, your entertainment up to a point.
Yep.
So next up, actually, let me stay on the local travel. If you can, maybe this is more of a Gregory Ricks question. Your car should be in the name of your business, or is that going too far? It overlaps. You only use it for personal. And
well, I mean, when it comes down to investment properties, unless it is your full-time job, more than likely that's not going to be possible.
Yeah, that's
you
probably a good rule of thumb.
So okay. if you're, you know, a lot of people have investment properties and it's their side job or something like that. So you'll have to just write off a portion of it, or you'll have to do that mileage rate deduction.
Okay, next, your home office.
Home office, use deductions for the office space or a workshop. A lot of people think that it's just your office supplies, but if you have a workshop where maybe you do the carpentry for your rental properties or repairs and stuff like that, make sure you can deduct off depreciation on tools and you know, nails and the wood that you use for the carpentry. I mean, it gets down to so many minor details. You know, you want to make sure that you're discussing this with your CPA before you actually break it down and make sure that you're doing it properly. And your CPA is going to have a a lot easier way for you to handle it.
Yeah, and as long as you don't have an office somewhere, as long as you don't have an office somewhere else, you can deduct a portion of your mortgage payment based on the square footage of your home office. So talk to your CPA about that as well.
Yeah, because we run into this one for any sort of home business or self-employment. Make sure you don't use that room for anything else. Its primary function is the office. It can't be your bedroom with a computer in the corner, things like that.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I'm sure your accountant will be on top of all that. But see, I don't want to get too enthusiastic about these deductions because I don't want to talk people into going into the investment property business thinking it's going to be easier than it is, because we end up cleaning up quite a few messes of people who are like, I just want to get out.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, after I've been in the investment world since 2001, and I have learned over the years a lot of things that I wasn't deducting in the beginning that I'm deducting now. But you learn as you go along. So having firsthand experience with it and then dealing with clients with investment properties, I learn a lot with that too. I actually just learned some more stuff from Jude and Jennifer the other night. I had a little meeting with them, so we discussed that.
I saw you were doing that and having a serious talk about depreciation, and I think that is acquiring a property and redoing it inside and some of the big depreciation you can do quickly as well on doing that.
That's it? Okay, now here's where it gets tricky, employees. Employees versus independent contractors. Oh, we got to step aside for a break. I'm getting the wave over there from Angie. Sorry, producer Angie, I wasn't focused. We're talking with Tracy and Stephanie, Dwell Nola Realty, about deductions for investment properties. DwellNola.com is the website. If you have a question, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. We have in studio with us the owners, founders of Dwell NOLA Realty, members of our Total Wealth Authority, Tracy and Stephanie. One thing I was thinking about while you were covering some of this depreciation, there's a couple I talked with, and I think it was about a year ago. They had been acquiring properties, and I think they acquired a lot right after Katrina as well. And one of the situations is they're cash poor. They've been just getting by because of the profits, but they didn't buy one and stop at it. They got into real estate really big, leveraged, and now one of the reasons they came in to talk to us is what to do with the coming cash flow, because they're paying off loans and stuff, and that's part of what they were doing to accelerate it. But they also see their tax liability climbing to where they virtually, because of depreciation and everything, have been in a really good situation. And I thought from that, because you always hear about, oh, yeah, I've got a couple properties, they're a pain, or I want to get out the real estate business, where we've got somebody that is really put in that effort and have done without, and then to see that transition for them. You just don't see that very often, right? Like that all of a sudden now the problem is, yeah, we've got all this positive cash flow, right, and we're going to pay taxes on all of it.
Nothing to add to that?
Yeah, good.
All right, let's go to the phones then. We're going to talk to, this is Norman in Reserve. You're on Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks, talking with Tracy and Stephanie, the Dwell NOLA Realty firm. How can we help you, sir?
Hey, how you doing? So I purchased a rental property back in 2006. And from what I understand from my CPA, over time, the law has changed to where to take full advantage of the tax deductions, you have to demonstrate that you're a real estate professional and 80% of your income is from that real estate business. And so those tax deductions got phased out based on your adjusted gross income.
Yeah, there is something to where you do have to prove that you're a real estate professional. I'm not sure what all the specifications are for that. My CPA, Jude Heath, I was speaking to him about that, and there are certain things that you do have to do that. I'm assuming that is what you're doing now.
Well, that's what I'm doing now, but what it did, it took away that advantage from a retiree to say, you know, I'm going to go buy a piece of real estate property, and it's going to supplement my retirement income, but, you know, those tax deductions based on what your total income is gets reduced to zero once you move north of 150 a year in adjusted gross income.
Okay. You see, I don't get that deep into it. I'm just kind of basically reviewing over the deductions, but that's good to know for people that are handling that, doing it that way. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're just doing it part time, definitely, like we said, consult with your CPA and they'll be able to let you know. But
and you didn't have an entity or LLC holding it. You're doing it as a sole proprietor, and it's just
Yeah, I'm doing it as a sole proprietor.
Yeah, that's part of your problem right there, is why you should have treated, even if it's one property, treat it as a business.
Yeah, because if it's one property, then it's showing up as 100% of what you do for that entity.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
And so what I understand is that those tax deductions go into a deduction bank that when you sell the property, then you can use the write-off at that time against any capital gain.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. Well, that's good for us to know.
Okay. Well, y'all
didn't know that.
Day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Norman. He's up there on the in Jude Heath territory for us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I have my property in an LLC. And really and truly, when you purchase property, you should have them all in a separate LLC. One LLC per property with a different LLC per property, not more than one property per LLC.
Yeah, that way you're keeping everything separated from one another. And
well,
you're not
if somebody
mixing,
tries to
yeah,
sue
if you
for
have
the
one
property,
issue for one property, yeah. it's going to be limited to just that rather than them being able to transfer over into anything else that you're working on.
Mm-hmm. All right, when we stepped away for the break, we were talking about the next level of your little investment property adventure, and that's employees, that's contractors. Mm-hmm. What's the difference? How do you know who to pay what? How does this affect your taxes? And this is where things can get really ugly and sort of complicated, because we've done entire shows on the difference between an employee and an independent contractor.
Right.
And the rules are legion, and the mistakes that can be made are pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
Any guidance that you've found? Do you have any employees? I'm sure you got contractors on
the
business.
I don't have employees because I don't have it's not a full-time business for me. You might have an employee. You might have a maintenance man that you pay as an employee that manages all of your properties that you would handle as an employee, but you'd have to actually have him under a taxable employee. Independent contractor, that's what I use. So anybody that I have for any repairs that we use. As a matter of fact, we just had a guy over there, you know, doing some repairs on the property, and I would deduct that whole thing. It's so much easier to do it that way. If you have an employee, though, the only time you would have an employee is if you were doing this full time and you had somebody that you kept on payroll.
Well, I mean, Gregory, what are some of the rules that make someone an employee versus an independent contractor? Like if you provide them a desk and a place to work, or they have a set schedule?
A set schedule, yes. They have to come in, because we have the same thing with our business. We have all 1099ers. We don't tell anybody where to be at a specific time. They don't have specific jobs. Everybody is hired independently. So I 1099 everybody.
Yeah, they just kind of freelance and do their own thing.
Yep.
Another big thing you look for is, are they doing this job, this type of work, for anyone else? That really helps. And then ultimately it depends on at the beginning of the following year if you send them a 1099.
Yeah.
If you don't, and even if they are a contractor, you're going to have big problems explaining that one to the IRS if you didn't send it
out. Got a 1099 everybody.
Okay, next one, casualty and theft losses.
So,
are we dealing in the insurance world here?
Yeah, well, maybe. Damaged by fire or flood, et cetera, stuff like that. Deduction depends on the amount of damage to your property and if it was covered by insurance. If it's covered by insurance, you can't deduct it. If it's not covered by insurance, there's a certain percentage that you can deduct. And, of course, that would fall back into the CPA's lap.
Okay.
To determine what can be the percentage to be deducted. Insurance, you can deduct your premiums for fire, theft, flood, and liability. And everyone, keep in mind, carry liability on your property. Don't just carry, like on my property, I have hazard, flood, and liability. I have a separate liability policy. Make sure you carry that liability policy. That's really more important than any other policy you're going to carry.
Well, how is that different? Is that like the slip and fall policy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so make sure you carry liability.
Yeah, because if you're renting that property out and they have guests over and someone trips and falls, or someone, you know, they're out on the balcony drinking and something stupid happens, then they're going to come back to you as the landlord, even though you weren't there and you had nothing to do with the situation.
We heard of some catastrophes this year where balconies collapsed. There was over in Austin, a party. There was someplace up north.
There was one just here in the French Quarter.
Yeah, so it's why you need that liability is they could come back and say, Stephanie, you should have known that board was loose and done something about it, or that gap was there. And now you're in a situation, you've got to prove it in a jury and such.
Yeah, you've got to
defend
yourself.
And if this is going to go bad, you need that liability so it doesn't cause you to lose everything you've built.
Right. So say, for instance, if you are a tenant and you have something wrong in your property, put it in writing to your landlord that this needs to be repaired. If your landlord does not repair it and it causes harm to you or a family member or friend, then you have the right to sue because you have it in writing. The landlord has to repair it within a certain amount of time, but put everything in writing. Landlord or tenant, make sure you put everything in writing.
Yeah, that'll help to prove that it was already an issue and that you brought it to their attention.
Yeah. Make sure you do that.
I mean, this all sounds like a good idea, but that sounds expensive, all this insurance.
I do it.
It's more expensive when you end up in court.
I know,
Stephanie
that's
and
what
I
everyone
carry,
says about insurance.
Stephanie and I carry liability just for dwell, in case somebody falls in our office. Yeah.
Okay. Legal and professional services. Talk about that.
Attorneys, accountants, financial advisors, realtors, property managers. Any of those, deduct all that.
Right on. Tracy and Stephanie from Doyle Nola Realty Firm. They are the partners of their own little real estate business here and also members of our Total Wealth Authority. Coming up after this three-minute break, we're going to talk about some featured properties of the week. If you're hunting for houses, listen up. We've got one Metairie Court. We've got one over in Lakeview. If you have a question, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. Welcome back. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Joining us in studio for one more segment are Tracy and Stephanie of the Doyle Nola Realty Firm. DoyleNola.com is their website. They're members of the Total Wealth Authority, the team we have assembled to handle all aspects of your financial well-being. Great job on talking about deductions for investment property. Let's see if we can sell some houses, though. Featured properties. What, are we not done with this?
Just very, very quickly, I just want to point out that when you're doing investment property, especially people that start out, you know, I know that they want to try to save as much money as possible. We all want that. We get that. But when you're hiring, when you need to hire other people to be a part of your team, please do so and make sure that they're qualified, because you're not going to know how to do everything. And don't pretend that you do. Make sure you contact, get legal professionals and tax consultants and financial advisors and any of those yes. other people out there. You're not going to be skilled at any of that stuff. You may be a fantastic contractor, builder, whatever, but you're not going to have all those skills. And it is crucial. If you want to save money, you've got to spend a little bit on these professionals to do it.
Yeah, I can assure you. And if you do have investment property, get a financial advisor, Gregory. Get a CPA, Jude. Have an attorney to get all this paperwork. I'm telling you, you have to have these things done properly or it can crash. A lot of investors just think it's easy to walk in, buy a property, and make money. Well, other than the renovation aspect of it, there are so many legal aspects that you really have to cover to make sure that you're covering all your bases and you're protected.
Yeah, I'm always amazed since I started working with Gregory. How many of these people are so good at something? They're so smart. This guy's a surgeon. He can
right.
he can operate on children and
right.
save their lives, or he can do rib spreaders and open a heart and fix it and put it all back
yeah.
together.
He's but just not a good businessman.
Boy, is he bad at investing.
Yeah.
Boy,
yeah, right.
does he have no expertise
exactly.
when it comes to what to do with all that money
right.
he just made helping people stay alive. Yeah, it's,
I totally exactly. agree with that.
Yeah, and so you probably run into the same thing. People
yeah.
make all this money. They get these investment properties. What do you mean you don't know how to fix a toilet? You know,
right, right, right. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Much exactly. less do all the accounting and the legal stuff. All
yeah.
right. Now is it okay to have your permission to
yes,
try and sell some of these
we can
houses?
Move on
yeah.
now.
Actually, anybody out there, I'm really desperate to find a property. Even if you work next to a building that looks like it's been vacant for a while, or just driving down the street, you see a for sale by owner. So call me. Just give me a buzz. Send me an email. Send me a text. I'll leave you my information. I'm looking between maybe Power, Transcontinental, and Causeway. And West Esplanade in the I-10. I'm looking for about a 4,000 square foot commercial building. So if anyone has anything like that,
hang on,
please.
That's a pretty small area you're
it's
looking
small
at.
Small area, yes. It's
okay.
a small area, but that's where I need it. So if any of you guys out there work next to a building like this or anything like that, please contact us, dwellnola.com. And just let me know so I can go take a ride by. I'd appreciate it. Or Facebook us or anything like that to contact Gregory.
Good use of the radio show there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, a couple of properties.
Okay.
One's over in my neighborhood.
Yeah, here. Right by James, 139 28th Street, 638, $638,900, 5 bedrooms, 4 baths, 3699 square feet.
That's huge.
And this
have we talked about this one before?
Yeah, we have. We have.
Okay.
We had a contract on it, and we're financing. We're starting over. So this one has all the amenities. Actually, the builder, she built it for herself, lived here, and ended up having to move. Not having to move, but wanting to move, get closer to family. And so it has all of the upgrades, all of the amenities. This wasn't a builder building it to sell. This was somebody that built it for their personal use. So she has, like, a gorgeous chef's kitchen. When they say chef's kitchen, this is, I don't know, 1, 2, 3, 4. I got, what, 6 burners, 7 burners? I don't know what it is. But it's a huge Viking stove. And, I mean, and then everything else that surrounds it is... It's,
I'm sorry, what's a Viking stove? That sounds
that's
incredible.
Like, that's a brand that
line.
Is amazing.
Yeah, that's
oh, okay.
like a, I guess you find it probably in restaurants too, I'm thinking. I don't know. But anyway,
after
it,
a long
it
day
looks
of pillaging,
like a,
you can make
it
dinner?
It looks like a restaurant, yeah, item. I don't cook, so look, I really don't know what I'm looking at when I walk into these kitchens, except for what I learned in real estate.
Don't say that.
Well,
you're supposed to be selling yourself too here, right?
Look, I know what it is from real estate, not from actual use.
Yeah, what kind
okay?
of stove is that? A
right.
big one? That's me.
Tracy could live off
that.
Of like a convection oven or
I
a microwave.
Could.
She'd be
I hate
fine.
To cook. I hate to cook.
All right. So, all look, right, so. Now I remember this thing because I'm just going over here to
yeah.
the Google Maps and a look at the street view.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember this one.
Yeah.
Do it. Go to your Google Maps. 139 28th Street.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah,
that's
that really beautiful. Is an amazing
it
house.
It really is. It's
and if
amazing.
You're and if you're worried about living that close to me, this is about 6 blocks away and more like 12 blocks away. So the... You won't have to really put up with me too much.
There's enough space there.
Yeah, don't let me ruin it for you. All right, but 5 bedroom, 4 bath.
Yeah.
That's for people, these idiots that have 4 kids, huh?
That's right.
For
there you go.
Yeah, don't you need to move, James?
Yeah, if you're just joining us, I have 4 kids. All right, so 3,699 square feet. Is there a baseball diamond in the upstairs somewhere?
Yeah,
that
you
is
would think,
huge.
You would think, yeah.
Well, where's all this square footage coming from? This is more than 5 bedrooms and 4 baths and a big kitchen. Do they
well,
have like a
huge
separate
living
like,
area,
study area, or
yeah,
a sunroom?
Yeah, there's an
or...
office. There's a large living space. The kitchen is huge.
Yeah, it's spacious.
That's pretty much,
it's,
yeah.
It's, The space is used well, though. Yeah.
It's great. It's a great house.
That sounds like a fun house. Plus, it does the cool thing. I like it when they do this. My house doesn't have it. My roof just goes up and makes a point. This one has four different levels that have all kinds of geometric machinations to come to a point.
She thought it out like Stacy thought out the Ricks compound. Oh, no. The Chateau Ricks. Yes. Chateau Ricks.
It's a village.
The village.
A little house for who? For an Italian village.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, next one.
191 Metairie Court. It's $699, four bedroom, three and a half bath, 3,700 square feet. This is new construction in Old Metairie. It will probably be finished at the end of January. So we are getting very, very close. Beautiful house. But we have a little ways to go.
Well, I mean, Metairie Court. Who doesn't want to live there?
And it's built by Raw Homes, which I cannot say enough wonderful things about them. Their attention to detail is amazing. And they, when they build these homes, they build them as if they're going to be living there. I mean, and he's such a great builder. I can go to him if I see anything that needs to be tweaked or whatever. And he's so good about it. And he loves to hear, you know, my input as to, you know, what's going on with the neighborhood and what I think might work better for the home, that kind of thing. So he really, really, he's not a builder that just wants to throw stuff up really quick and be done with it. He puts a lot of heart into it.
Steph, as far as Metairie Court goes, can they come and pick out their own colors and that if they come
in early? No, it's already too far along to pick anything out. Yeah, okay. It's planned.
All right. Now, I need you to be descriptive and very visual because I just went to the Google Maps, looked at the street view. This must be a teardown rebuild.
Yeah.
Because
there's
a dinky little shack that's on, and it's definitely not a four-bedroom.
No. It's a total new construction.
Okay, so what does it look like? What color is
very
it? Is
traditional.
It two stories?
It's white. It's two-story. Has a garage.
Hardy plank.
Hardy plank, yes. It's very traditional for the neighborhood. So the other houses that you know of by this same builder are the ones on Ridge Lake that we've talked about before, 400 Ridge Lake and 800 Ridge Lake, and those are the ones that are very
contemporary
style.
Mod. Yes.
Look like one of the cool kids on the block.
Very cool. Oh, I love those houses. Yeah.
Okay, so this isn't like a brick house?
No, not a brick house.
That's Hardy Plank, Hardy Plank.
Siding.
Which you see a lot in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I thought Hardy Plank, though, was made out of, like, concrete dust.
Concrete board.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Concrete
board. But it doesn't. It looks like wood. It doesn't look like concrete.
Okay. I thought that was, like, the drywall, the stuff that's behind the exterior, not the exterior itself.
Oh, no, it's the exterior boards.
It's the exterior.
And they're, like, lifetime warranties.
Yeah, they're hardy.
Phenomenal. Yeah.
They're very hardy?
They're hardy.
Oh, my goodness gracious. See, this is why I'm not a contractor. Okay, but that one, $699,000.
Okay.
But that's what you expect to get in
Old
Metairie.
That's good. Okay, let me talk about
Tracy's
one more thing.
Pushing you along.
I got a few minutes.
Excuse me, go ahead.
Okay, look, so this is one thing that I spoke with Jude about. I need to mention this. When you have a vacation home, if you rent it out for more than 14 days a year, then you become a landlord. You take the standard investment property deductions. You may use 14 days or less for your personal use, friends and family. Rent it out for more than 14 days a year, then you can take the investment property deductions. You can also use work days, which are not counted as your 14 days of vacation. Work days are when you go and do repairs, and you can count those as work days. You must log everything. Jude suggested to keep a sign-in book at the vacation property where people sign in and date it for the IRS if you ever get audited.
That's why.
And he recommends keeping travel logs and all that. Keep records. That's all I can say. Keep records.
That's why people do guest books.
Yes.
Yeah, we're fans of this deduction, too, because that's also a way that you can get money out your LLC and get it into your bank account.
Yeah.
Just don't do it too many. With the 14 is the cutoff, right?
Yeah, yes. And real quick, you can depreciate over 27 and a half years your investment property. There is something called segmented depreciation, and it's segment actual assets. So talk to your CPA about segmented depreciation versus straight line depreciation.
Okay. Tracy and Stephanie, members of the Dwell or partners of the Dwell Nola Realty Firm, obviously do a lot more than just sell your house and find your properties. Yes. They help you with setting up the business, the investment. They help you with the deductions. They help you with the guest book.
I will design a guest book.
We'll
for
help
you
with the guests. We'll send people to rent your property on the coast.
All right. You ladies are extremely helpful when it comes to real estate.
Thank you.
We cannot recommend them enough. If you're going to do this,
don't do the for sale by owner.
Don't do the investment properties on your own. Get professional help. We recommend these ladies. DwellNola.com is the website. And since I'm probably not going to see you again, Merry Christmas. Or at least
Merry Christmas to you guys and everyone out there.
We're winning it live with Gregory Ricks coming up next. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Welcome back. Yeah, this is hour three. We've burned through 2 hours. I know. It goes by so fast. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker on iHeartRadio. One of the things I want to talk about this hour, I know you've got a list for us already going, but I'm going to throw something out there that we don't talk about, is losing a spouse and what you should expect when you have retirement plans and working with somebody. How should this go for you?
I want to talk about a restricted property trust, something you introduced to me this week. I did a little more reading on it, so I feel a little more comfortable talking about it in depth.
And really?
Well, listen, it takes a while. I got to do some homework to keep up with you, and this is what the homework looks like. And also, I want to talk to you about something else we covered on the Daily Wrap. When we see the life expectancy in the United States drop for the first time in decades, that doesn't just affect, you know, how long you live. The entire financial world is watching, more specifically, especially the insurance world is watching, because they live and die by their actuarial tables. And just the discussion we get to have about that on, the biggest life insurance policy ever issued. We talked about that and how it kind of applies in smaller scales. And we ended up talking about so many cool things that just sprung off of that. In fact, I pulled a video for it. I put it up on the Facebook page for Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. And it just started with me asking the question, what's the upper limit on the size of an annuity that you can buy? Now, we know we don't like to put someone's investment. So I'm not talking about 50% of your portfolio or whatever. I'm not talking about percentage. I'm talking about what's the biggest you can buy, $1 million, $5 million? And then we just went off on like four tangents after that.
Well, I know individual up in, I'm trying to think, Tennessee, but actually he's in Kansas. He drops about $6 million a year into annuities. He's got a lot of money, and that's what he wants to do.
And he's going to have a lot of money from here on out if that's what he's doing.
Yeah, you know, going back to one of the great athletes we know and like from this region here, he played basketball for LSU, Orlando, and then fame through the Lakers as well, all-time great Shaq. That was one of the core things he did, was put money consistently into annuities, because the advice he was given, and we're talking about fixed annuities, not variable, fixed annuities, which are guaranteed annuities. And basically you said, you can't mess this up. If all this doesn't work great for you, you don't have a long career, and you don't have any other outside success, you are guaranteed to not ever run out of money. From an income standpoint. So the gentleman in Kansas looks at it that way too, is, yeah, I've taken the risk in all of my barbecue businesses, and he's big. And he's just, you know, I don't want to have to worry about the investment side.
And how cool does that sound after the fact? Because we learned, I think it might have been 2 years ago. How long have we been doing this show? Forever. Shaq's financial advisor told him $1 million. The first $1 million you make every year is going into a fixed annuity. Period. Point blank in a story. We'll talk about the other rest. The rest. We will even haggle. We will struggle on what you think we should do versus what I recommend you should do. But that first $1 million, no question, that's what's happening. And Shaq was smart enough to go, okay.
Yeah, brilliant. And they ended up adding a lot more. It's kind of a core part of his overall investments. And we know Shaq, he just still makes money. You know, when you have somebody that's famous to market for you or do your commercials, and the dude always smiles, he's always smiling. Who else do you know that was like that in basketball?
Michael Jordan looked like he was always enjoying himself. I mean, winning six championships.
But I'm just
talking
about that's not, and you've seen a picture of me with Magic Johnson. The dude always smiles. So what's perfect for advertising is somebody just, they can smile and they look friendly, like a friend. Yeah, so that's what all helps make that work for
them. You know, I never thought of that, but you're right. There's not a whole lot of endorsement opportunities for someone like a Bobby Knight or a Jim Mora. You know,
that never smiles.
Although I did see him in an advertisement where instead of going playoffs, he was talking about something else like barbecue. What was that? Did y'all see that?
I saw the commercial.
Was playing during college football one day.
And I don't remember what it was, but it was a take on his personality. It wasn't about him smiling.
No.
But anybody that had watched him coach and paid attention to his press conferences, it was hilarious.
And it
made you smile.
Oh, definitely. And the weird thing is I like Jim Mora just as much as I like the guys that smile. You know, he's not smiling, but that doesn't ruin it for me. All right, so.
I'd be like Belichick.
Just stunk.
Yeah, we got some
Belichick. He ever smile?
No, Belichick looks like he just sucked a lemon all the time. Even when they're winning, you know, he'll do like a little fist pump. Like,
oh, brr. Well, then that's Saban as well. When does Saban smile?
I don't know. When he's drinking the tears of his enemies, that's when he's doing. He catches some of Les Miles' tears and he makes like a stew out of it, I think is what he does. An elixir. Rubs it on like lotion. All right. Where do you want to start with here? Because one of the things we talked about on the Daily Wrap, if you want to know how solid and how secure annuities can be and how even even when we talked last week about the woman who's 117 years old now, an annuity can last that long. An annuity can last literally until you die. But if you want to go to the longest annuity that's ever existed.
I was going to say, we talked about that the other night.
Yeah, Ben Franklin. Now, we had come across this information before, but you do a little more digging. And this started out with £1,000 sterling that was granted, bequeathed in his will. And after we did the show, I sent you the link to his will. It's not really that long, is it? Anyway, so he died in April of 1790. In there, he set aside £2,000 of sterling. And he said, 1,000 is going to Boston, 1,000 is going to Philadelphia. For the first 100 years, the interest could be used to provide loans to local tradesmen, but no one's going to touch the principal. After 100 years, they could scoop into that just a little bit. But after the second 100 years, then they could wind that down and use it however they saw fit. So it started with 1,000 in each. By the time they cashed them out in the 90s, Philly got $4.5 million that was left. This is after they'd been pilfering it for 100 years, and Boston still had $2 million in the Ben Franklin annuity that they wound down in 1993, and that's just a testament. Not only can it last that long, look at the growth. Look at the growth you see there. It went to millions from the £1,000 sterling. I don't know what £1,000 sterling in 1790 equals in today's dollars. I'm not even sure if Siri could do that for us. But it's not $4.5 million.
That's just pretty cool what you can do with time when you think about it. How would you like to £1,000 was you're talking about, what was it back then? What was the value of that?
A pound sterling in 17, I'm gonna have to Google this, Gregory. I couldn't even ballpark it for you. One British pound. Well, no, that's now $1.26. How about in 1790, people? Here we go. Currency converter, pound sterling to dollars. Source year 1790. What did people do before the internet? What did we do? Convert. $147,000 is what it would be today. So $147,000. What he put into each of those. And it ended up being $4.5 million in Philadelphia. But this is after they spent the last 100 years dipping into it for loans for local tradesmen.
Those had to be paid back.
Yeah.
Those into it.
Yeah, I guess so. So that's not really taking anything out.
It was probably favorable interest rates at that time as well. I would expect that. And then once they had access to the principal. There was a point that they had access to the principal. How long did it last?
Beginning in 1890, they could access the principal, but they could only access a portion of it. After 1990, they were instructed to wind it down. So, think about it.
What if they should have done 300 years, maybe?
Do you expect the country to last that long? Look, there's no such thing as a republic that's lasted 300 years.
Well, when you go back and start thinking about mindset at that time, that was a reach to think the financial system would last to 1990.
Oh, yeah, and look at all the other countries. I mean, we consider, you know, the old world with France and Germany and Spain and Italy. These are the old countries. No, all those countries have been reconstituted several times since the United States was founded. The French government flipped over in the late 1790s with their little French Revolution. Then it flipped to Napoleon. Then it flipped back to a republic. And then it got flipped in World War II. And then it had to flip back and they had to reestablish their government. Same thing with Germany. It's gone through all kinds of machinations. It went from the monarchy to the republic.
He could have never expected the wars. Then the federal income tax was not on the table when he died.
Thank goodness.
And there was no debt to the country to speak of, really.
Right.
In any great amount. May have been a small. But I would say it from his standpoint, he probably said, you know, this is really solid deal we've put together. This should go. In comparison of looking at it today, knowing we have $20 trillion in debt, we're upside down every year going forward and can expect to be, is just like Social Security being short on funds, the Social Security Disability Fund, Medicare. We have over $100 trillion in unfunded liabilities, along with, no matter what Trump does, this debt probably goes to $30 trillion. Anyhow, we've just got stuff on the books that's just going to come no matter how you shape it at this point. So if I was to be glass half empty, I'd say expecting a collapse back then versus expecting a collapse now, along with, and it might not just be us, but it's the global debt. Was there global debt like that in 1799? No, not like it is now. So yeah, I think expecting an economy to go another 100 years is questionable.
We're going to take this historical context, and we're going to use it to show you how you can utilize annuities in your retirement planning. If you have any questions, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
You still have time. If you want to make a call about that financial situation that you're not sure what to do. You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap. Yes, this is a financial show, and we, you know, one of the ways we keep scores, are we winning? Are we saving money? Are we preparing for the future? I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. We do this every Saturday and have done so for somewhere about 6.5 years.
Yes,
and we
sir.
Have. You were talking about that last night, how we have fun on the show. We can have rough work days, and sometimes things don't always go well, but this, for me, is a fun escape as well, doing this show. If you have a financial situation you'd like some help, it's 504-260-0995. We're going to be on the air about 45 more minutes. We end the show a few minutes before 1. And then a few minutes after that, Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo, which he's the head of Cross Country Mortgage. And so it's going to be interest rates, mortgages, a lot of help. Great fella, works hard.
Yeah, and that is the perfect metaphor for this when you were playing sports. This is why it's so important to play sports when you're a kid, because, you know, these little life lessons. You know, the reason why I didn't want to play football my last couple of years of high school is it was too rough. It was way too much of a commitment and whatever. But it wasn't the games. The games wasn't the hard part. It was going to practice every day for 3 hours after school and getting your block knocked off and knocking off other people's blocks and getting injured and having to limp around class the next day for the next 6 weeks. And you don't even get to play that much anyway. And then you got your finger slammed between two helmets again. The game's not the problem. The game's the fun part. And that's what this show is. This show's the fun part. It's the stuff we have to do to prepare for the show, or, you know, dealing with all these other financial situations, or fixing the radio equipment, or dealing with someone's schedule. The actual execution of the show, this isn't work.
You know, when you think about it, I think because I played high school ball as well. And when you think about it compared to other sports like baseball or basketball, you get a bunch of opportunities to play the game, which is the reward for all the work. Football, you put in all this work and you get like, what, 10, 11 in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Not a lot of games
yeah.
for that payoff.
And then once you're actually at a game, I played offense. I was a wide receiver. So half the game, it wasn't even possible for me to be in. And I wasn't one of the top two receivers. So then I got subbed in, and I think I had maybe 3 passes thrown to me my entire career. I mean, it's just a waste. I don't want to say it was a waste. It was fun, and practice was fun, but I don't know. I just feel the same way about it, that if I could have just played the games, I would have played football continually. I would have never stopped. Hey, check this out. Before we get back into the annuity discussion here, this was an interesting piece of information that came across the desk at Gregory Ricks & Associates. President-elect Donald Trump has proposed a one-time tax of just 10% on the estimated $2.5 trillion in profits held overseas. But here's, and I've heard of that before. This is the part I didn't know. A similar tax holiday was utilized in 2005 when they did a 5.25 one-time tax incentive to bring overseas money back into America. And they repatriated $360 billion. So if we could do that.
It's better than nothing.
Oh, absolutely.
But they should bring a lot more. Now, what did they consider was overseas back then versus now?
Like how much money?
Yeah.
Oh, that's not in this list. Like what percentage of overseas money came back?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be a good question.
I don't know. I think you could see a massive amount come over with that.
The 10%, though, that's twice as much as the rate in 2005, and apparently they didn't get all the money back from overseas.
And not going to this time.
So interested to see what happens with that. I wonder if that'll be a success. Anyway, I just didn't know that one piece of information about when we tried it again in 2005. All right, back to the annuity situation here. Let's talk about that 3.1%. Still on the table? Did you get the phone call? Is it dead yet?
Nope, it's still on the table. 3.1%, 5 years. And look, and it's not the only one, but with 10-year treasuries yesterday closing above 2.4%, you know, you're getting much better rates on those CD-like annuities, which technically are multi-year fixed interest annuities, giving you an interest rate specific years, typically 2, 3, 4, 5. It turns out the 5 year is the sweet spot on interest rates. You don't get much bump up to go 7. And you get a pretty big drop going to 3. But I think it's something to use in the mix, especially for those that are conservative Or if they're, say, wanting to ladder emergency money or money that they're going to use for something else down the road. And you could also treat that as bond-like because it's able to kick out interest to you, which we do that with fixed indexed annuities, is we like to either treat them as pension-like or bond-like money. And one of our favorites the past year, the index is really getting maxed out because so much money has gone to it. I'm referring to the Mosaic index, which is up over 9% when you attach it to a fixed indexed annuity. There's no downside exposure to it. But they said that there's too much assets connected to the index and they don't want it to skew, so they're pulling it as an option and beginning early in January. So we've actually having a lot of clients come in and said, yeah, I want in on that. I want a piece of that. I want that tool in my toolbox going forward there. So it's a great option. And if you're interested in how can I make money with using an annuity that also guarantees my money, doesn't expose me to market risk, you should call my office, get more details.
Tom and Homa, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Okay. How can we help you, Tom?
Oh, hey, I like your program. I try to catch it every weekend.
Thank you, Tom.
I was interested in your comments about Shaq and how he was prudent with his money. I remember reading something a few years ago about Babe Ruth. In the 20s, he said when he retired, I don't know when he retired, early 30s maybe, but I mean he made big money for those days. He said his agent kept back 20% of all his paydays and put it in an account that he couldn't get to. And he said, thank God he did that because that's the only money he had when he retired. He said he went out every night carousing and womanizing and drinking. You know, he was like a legendary carouser. He said if his agent hadn't put back that money, he would have been dead broke after retirement.
Yeah, and he made big money for a player back then. You know, he was not the norm as an athlete as well on
right.
that. And he was one of those that they also advised him to pull out. The market was going to get ugly and have problems and advised him to move from the market to annuities at that time as well, which was pretty interesting.
Yeah. Well, the statistics these days are terrible. Like NFL and NBA guys, like what, 3/4 of them are broke 5 years after their last game?
Yeah, it's
right.
It's a horrible story.
Horrible.
And the thing of making big money, and look, I'll tell you, this happens in the TV industry. You just don't hear about it because typically where you have folks that do TV shows and stuff, and then once that series ends,
right.
you don't see a lot of those people anymore. Did they save money? A lot of them do not, so they end up broke. But the problem, like with the athletes, is they set up this lifestyle where a wide receiver
right.
or running back is making big money or might even be making $1 million a year on a 5-year contract. So he sets up his lifestyle, sports cars, big house,
right.
vacation home somewhere, house in multiple cities, entourage. You
big
hear some
tax
of
bills for those houses.
And remember, half the money's going to IRS. And
right.
some of the cities they play in have a tax on these athletes
right.
as well. So half the money's gone, so they're living a big life on the other half, and then they're cut, and it's gone. They still
yeah,
can't continue that life.
I think the NFL now has all the rookies go to a class. And they're assigned a financial advisor that says, look, I'm going to explain to you in common language how to manage some money and put some away so you won't be one of these guys. And they all have to sit through that class. Now, whether it sticks, I don't know.
I go back to the Shaq thing, the Babe Ruth thing. Is you have to set aside some money, but you don't have to expose it to risk. You can just do safe things with it. Remember, the race between the tortoise and the hare. This isn't, oh, how fast can I grow my money? It's how can I accumulate it long range and keep it
right
to when I need it? And how can I distribute it efficiently and safely as well.
Yeah, and we've talked about the Babe Ruth situation before. I just went to Google it so I'd get the numbers right. The last 6 years of his career, he sunk more than half of his salary into annuities.
Wow, and, that's pretty good.
Yeah, and that started in 1923, so he basically quit at the beginning of the Great Depression.
Oh, that's some pretty good timing there.
Oh, it's super lucky for him there. But, hey, it does happen.
All right, well, love your show. Keep it up.
Right, and remember, that Shaq story didn't start out so great. The first $1 million he made, he blew it in 2 days.
Yeah.
And he freaked himself out, and from then on, that kind of what...
He went and got help and followed it.
But,
actually, didn't he, like, he bounced the check, too.
Yeah, 2 days later, he bounced the check. And they covered it, and they're like,
well,
we're not going to do this
again.
He
burned through it and bounced.
That's an incredible story. I think we have that on the YouTube somewhere. Anyway, if you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you better call Gregory, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. It's Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
It's playing in the night air through the speakers all night long. Couple kids just living that American country love song. In every town and every place, there's a boy who's trying to take a chance and dance and find a way to run away with her heart in the back of an old Ford truck.
You're listening to Winning at Life, the weekly wrap with Gregory Ricks and James Parker. One thing I like about the show, the music that is on the ins and outs.
Because you picked it.
I pick it all. And it's and maybe on my show, you'll hear, well, the music keeps going a little longer than other shows. Yeah, because I'm wanting to hear it. I love all this different styles of music and I pick. And then Angie gets exposed to some stuff she's not used to hearing. But then she gets to choose it when she puts it on the air. And that's a fun part of what I do with this show is I love the music. So when new stuff coming out, boom, we hit you up with it. If you have a financial situation, we've got this segment and one more because we're signing off right before one and handing it off to Dwayne Stein of Mortgage Gumbo. The phone number is 504, because we're in multiple markets, 504-260-0995. We've been getting people calling the office today as well, and you can call the office. There's somebody on pick up the call, interact with you, and if you're wanting to leave a message for business hours for us to get back to you, that number, not to confuse you, but it's 504-832-9200. And one of the calls was looking for a phone number of our guests.
Yeah, now if you're interested in getting in touch with Dwell Nola, DwellNola.com is the website, so if you don't have a chance to write this phone number down, you can still remember DwellNola.com and go look it up at your own leisure. But 504-301-2400 is the phone number for the office of Dwell Nola Realty, and that's how you get in touch with them. But if you don't remember that, DwellNola.com, everybody can remember that. But 504-301-2400.
And I'm pretty sure they're linked up with our website as well. So if you can't, what was their website? What was their name? Just go to GregoryRicks.com, Total Wealth Authority.
Yeah, we'll make sure you get the number.
And you're linked up there. But the gentleman that left a message at my office for that, we will call him back Monday and make sure he gets that information as well.
All right, well, now, I've said this before, but it bears repeating because it's going to walk right into our next topic here. Every relationship that you enter into with another human being can only end in two ways. Breakup or death. That's it. There's no third option.
So you're talking about relationships.
Yes, relationships. This is exactly what I'm talking about. Now, for myself and the hot redhead, when we got married, we just took one of those options off the table. Breakup, we're not breaking up. There's only one way out of this marriage. Someone's got to die. Hopefully it's of natural causes. But now that we've taken that off the table, this makes my marriage just one big happy go-lucky time until the day comes inevitably, because we're both, neither one of us are immortal. So we're going to have to face the horrible situation. Neither one of us is looking forward to it, but we still need to be prepared for it. What happens when a spouse passes away? This is one of the sad things about your business, is having to have these clients come in here and they're devastated.
One of the hardest parts is actually losing the client to that problem that you mentioned. Death is the only way it's ending the relationship, but it also technically is ending a relationship with us because of death, but it's just getting to know these people. And at the core thing, a lot of people come to work with us because they know we're going to put together a strategy, put together a plan that everything continues. I was meeting with a client that lost her spouse recently, and that's one of the things she said. He always wanted to make sure I was taken care of, and that is most of the cases. If I tell you what, there was a couple that we were looking to work with or looking to work with us a few years back. And I remember we didn't go forward because he definitely was not looking out for her. And we didn't go forward. I think you have got to plan to take care of your spouse. And this goes both ways. for both sides, not just the women. We just know women statistically are going to outlive us guys for the most part, just the way it's always been. May narrow some in the future, but it's still going to be that case. And when you lose that spouse, and in this conversation with her the other day, I told her, we're just going to sit down and talk. She was ready to come in, and there was no rush. We didn't, like, pressure her, hey, you got to come in and do this, because we already have everything taken care of. There's not big decisions to make, and it's more about putting your mind at ease. You know, there's the annuities we use, for example, for the safe money, has spousal continuation. So it isn't like it's going to come undone and you've got to start something else. You can undo it, but it's also real easy, as it's going to continue. We'll just retitle it when you're ready, and you've got that choice. Do I want to undo it? Do I continue it? We set all this up knowing that this income planning and asset building is going to continue. Now, if it's IRAs, depending on age, and let's just say everybody's under 70 in this scenario, is all you've got to do is we'll do some paperwork and convert it to the spousal IRA, which means the spouse can take it, surviving spouse can take it as their IRA so that they're not having to pay RMDs. Same for Roth accounts. So then we've got to go and update beneficiaries. So one of the things I spoke with her about is the beneficiary changes. And she didn't make any decisions then because it's already in place. The contingent's now going to become the primary. She's got to decide who the new contingent would be. But everything is kind of in place. And I said, and I had a number of docs needed to sign and stuff. And you know what? How much she signed? None. There was no urgency to any of it. We're going to probably get back together and talk some more in about 10 days. And that's what you want to have happen, is knowing that you've lost your best friend in life. And that'd be example of you, James. And she doesn't have to go make big decisions. Doesn't have to make any decisions at all. And that's the last thing you want, is so much has changed. So there, you know, when you're talking about Social Security or widow's benefits, gosh, that income's gone, or I don't get the disability income, all those things. You've got other things going on besides these assets. Then you've got the life, that best friend is no longer. So much is going on. And then probably everybody and his brother is trying to give you some advice, but you don't have to go and make big decisions. And that's where I would, you know, on anything, I would also add in, is we would counsel to take a pause on making decisions. And I'm, for one, definitely making sure there's no pressure put on the client.
Well, and it's the difference between, once your spouse passes away, now you got to come up with the plan on what am I going to do. It's much better if you're just executing the plan that you...
Yeah, the plan doesn't change.
Right. And you do this for yourself. One of the things that, without telling any of your secrets, I was working with one of your staff members on some of the processes, and she was telling me, okay, this is how we do this, and then if something happens to Gregory, so-and-so will do this, and then we're working on something else, same sentence came up. Well, this is how we do it, and then until something happens to Gregory, and then we're going to transfer it, and this will be the domain of this person over here. I'm like, so you're telling me y'all basically have a contingency operation for if Gregory gets hit by a bus tomorrow.
Yeah.
And with no smile, just like, yeah, that's normal order
of
business.
Matter of fact, we have to do that.
Exactly. But, man, thorough stuff. I mean, it's almost down to who's going to take out the trash. And I kind of feel a little bad because I don't think I have my affairs in that much of order. But it's kind of inspiring to say, you know what? Why don't I? Why don't I already have the plan? Why, something happens to me, the hot redhead can't just walk in and execute a plan where she's going to be fine? You know, like I said, so much other stuff to worry about, especially when you're this young, especially when you got kids, or even if you have an adult kid and you're still trying to steer them in the right direction. The last thing you want is money problems.
Yeah, and that's part of what we look for when we're working with couples, is that gap. What is going to be affected income-wise should he move on earlier than expected, or her in that case? And how do we make up for these gaps? And sometimes life insurance falls into fixing that gap. Or let's say your situation, James. four kids, hot redhead. You don't have huge amount of assets built up yet. That's coming. But if something happens to you, what fixes that gap? Life insurance. And I'll say this, in general, most people never have enough. Of course, it's something you buy hoping and expecting not to ever use it, but it does happen. And when it does happen, I'm telling you, the surviving spouse is glad of what they have, but also I'm going to tell you they would have liked to have had more coming to them, because it doesn't always last.
Yeah, and I was blown away by the low expense it is just for that peace of mind. Knowing the hot redhead will be fine. What's my premium? I think it's $26 a month.
Yeah. It can be structured to where it's not that much, that you can get the coverage you need, and it can be reasonable or very affordable in the short term.
All right. If you have any questions about the process by which you're going to take care of your spouse when you pass along, 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
I want bourbon, I want scotch, I want beer. I'm having a record year. Quarter notes and Hank's halftime. I'm pounding on this heart of mine. Song to song, I pass my time. These speakers on 10. Your good and gone keeps me up all night. Along with songs in the key of life. I'm either gonna get over you or I'm gonna blow out my ears. Yeah, you're out there now.
we'll take it. Welcome to Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio. I'm your co-host, James Parker. Happy Saturday. Feels kind of naked with no football on a Saturday here. I mean, are we in bowl season yet? Because bowl season used to be like around New Year's, but now that we have 46 bowls, I think we're in the generic Captain Crunch Bowl. And then tomorrow, what do we have after that? I'm just trying to think of something lower. The Big Lots Bowl or something? I don't know. It's ridiculous. Bowl season. The Motel 6 Cactus Bowl. The majesty, the pageantry, the tradition of the Motel 6 Cactus Bowl is coming up next week. I'm waiting with bated breath. You know, I was wanting to talk about something that came up, ended up being a killer segment on our Daily Wrap. What do you do if you're a small business owner who you've been working and you finally built this thing up and now you have a new problem? Now you make a bunch of money. And you have high income, but also high taxes. And is there any financial vehicles we can use, especially when it comes to estate planning and taxes and things like that? Well, yeah, the Restricted Property Trust. But I think I'm getting interrupted here because we got an email.
I'm looking into the email a little bit. I don't know that we can cover it on this show. They're talking about Congress. Here, I'll read it to you. Darn, clicked on the wrong thing.
If you want to email gregory@gregoryricks.com.
Yeah, and so Ted emailed, and he's wanting to discuss changes that Congress is planning with the stretch IRA that is considered a non-spousal beneficiary. Yeah, there has been talk of taking the stretch away, because it used to be the five-year rule on non-spouse beneficiaries, meaning you kind of really had to take all the money out of the IRA.
What's a stretch IRA first?
Stretch means you can stretch it over your life, meaning you don't have to spend it down, but a non-spouse beneficiary has to take RMDs. And so you always have some of these things thrown out there, because why would they would rather you accelerate it and take it out over 5 years? Because they want the money.
The tax.
Well, here's the thing, and I don't think they need, and they might be going about this because that's where non-spouse beneficiaries don't have federal protection on IRAs like the original IRA owner or spouse has, is they're protected up to $1 million. So people can't sue you for your IRAs and get that money. Reason they took away that federal protection is, what happens when a non-spouse beneficiary inherits the money? Typically, in 3 years, 70% of the money is, or 70% of the beneficiaries spend through that money in 3 years. And I had a client that inherited a lot of money, non-spouse, daughter, as an example. And yeah, she, by the time 3 years had passed, almost to the month, she had withdrawn like 90% of the assets. Guess what assets are still in place?
Nothing.
The annuity.
Oh, that she couldn't
touch. But everything
touch.
Else is still there. Now, she chose to do the annuity in the mix of the assets she inherited. That's the money that's still in place. Is the fixed annuity in that case. So could Congress be talking about taking away the stretch? Yeah, because most of the money gets spent through over that period of time. Whether they do it, I don't know. And you have another administration coming in, which could affect that. So I don't know where that goes. And sometimes it abruptly happens. They're not going to have hearings, discussions, boom, somebody attaches it to a law. As they do things, and next thing you know, yeah, it's changed. I think the stretch should stay in place as an option, because you can, on an inherited IRA, you can spend it down as fast as you want to pay taxes on it. But I still think the stretch is a viable option, and if the government takes a long-term view, that's long-term revenue that's coming in from these assets instead of, okay, we'll just take all the tax money now. Well, what happened to all that you were needing down the road? It's like the rental income. I'm going to discount it. You pay me the next 5 years of rental income now versus doing that. That might not be a good example, but, you know, I like the reoccurring revenue coming in. So that's kind of what the email is about. So other than that being talked about, I don't know of anything that is in fact going to happen, but I'll research. It might be a topic for the show next week if there's more to this.
Well, he's talking about a bill that came out of the Senate. Well, it didn't even come out of the Senate. It just came out of the Finance Committee of the Senate. However, it did pass unanimously. It's called the Retirement Enhancement and Savings Act of 2016. It may get an up or down vote, a yay or nay here in the lame duck session. But, yeah, he's right. In one of the changes, currently a non-spouse inheriting IRA can generally take required minimum distributions over the his or her life expectancy. This bill eliminates this benefit of the so-called stretch IRAs. There's a few other things in here, too. Prohibition to the ability to make contributions to a traditional IRA by individuals who have reached age 70 and a half would be repealed. That changes some things. Unrelated employers could pool their resources by participating in new types of multiple employer plans if conditions are met. That's pretty cool, too. Anyway, there's a few other little piddly things in here. The article here doesn't sound like they're too sure it's going to pass, but it did get out of the Senate committee, and it is on the table, so someone is talking about it. But I'm with you. It doesn't sound like it's going to happen. All right, well, but thanks for the heads up. We'll keep this on our radar. And if you're interested in hearing about it, we'll show interest in updating you on it as time comes. Anything else from the digital inbox there?
I'll do a recheck here. Just getting a lot of activity through calls to the office, the app, and email questions. A lot of work for us to do on Monday.
We'll have to get to work after football Sunday. Okay, man, I wish we had more than 4 minutes to do this because this was absolutely new information to me. I had not been made familiar with this tool, a restricted property trust. And I'm always interested after doing this show for 6.5 years that we can cover new ground. There's still new things that I haven't learned. And this seemed like a big one. High income people who own their own small business, listen up.
Now, I covered this because of pros and cons, and it gives you an idea. There is structuring you can do. There's some problems with this one, but we are going in this direction beginning of the year for business owners with high income and individuals with high income. How can they put money, and I've always said this, but it's a focus of what we're going to add, is how can I put money away tax efficiently and how can I take distributions in the future tax efficiently? And tax efficiently would be less taxes to no taxes in the tax system. Although we talk about these strategies, but what can affect it? Yeah, Congress or the administration changing the rules. And ultimately, a tax has to be changed by Congress. So the president can want it done or change how it's done, but Congress actually has to do it. A restricted property trust is a way for highly taxed business owners to mitigate income taxes and safely grow assets. So that's another positive point of the strategy, is safely grow. The plan allows for substantial pre-tax contributions, tax-deductible savings is what we mean, tax-deferred growth, and tax-free distributions. Any corporate entity other than a sole proprietor is eligible, and only shareholders or partners are allowed to utilize the restricted property trust. Here's the deal. Minimum funding of period of 5 years is required, with a minimum annual contribution of $50,000 a year. The plan funding must be done in additional five-year increments. The maximum contribution is based on what is considered reasonable and customary for the level of income earned. For multiple shareholders, each may elect their contribution levels or even elect not to participate in the plan. Oh, I thought we had like another
2 hours?
15 minutes to cover this. We just touched on it. Well, that means we're going to talk more about it next Saturday.
Business planning, estate planning, retirement planning, investing, Gregory Ricks and Associates, GregoryRicks.com, and the Gregory Ricks and Associates app if you need to get in touch with us. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks on iHeartRadio.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is copyrighted by Gregory Ricks for the private use of our audience. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without express consent by Gregory Ricks is prohibited.